Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Beyond the Red Zone. I don't know why I said it all horribly like that, but it just felt appropriate. My name is Jason Miles, your co-host, but your main tour guide into the sports verse is my good friend, Mac.
What up, everybody? Hello, hello, hello on this wonderful Wednesday evening.
We have been gone for a while for various reasons. Scheduling is one of them. Mac had some health issues. And we are back. Sadly, we couldn't be back right around the Super Bowl. Was that maybe the best Super Bowl you've seen in the last few years?
Oh, God. Yeah. And the thing is, it wasn't like the, the Pats-Rams one where it was just boring as shit. As a Pats fan, I was so happy they won, but I'm like, oh my God, I could barely stay awake. This thing's so fucking boring. But yeah, dude, I thought it was phenomenal. I think, KC showed that they're not just an offensive team. They played amazing defense, really, really kind of locked down that really stupidly talented San Francisco offense. And it's amazing how well Andy Reid makes a halftime adjustment, because by halftime, mm-hmm. Travis Kelce, the best receiver on Kansas City right now, right? Like, he plays tight end, but he's essentially, he can line up in the slot. He lines up all over the place, right? He had one catch for 1 yard. And then in the second half, he just exploded.
What was the adjustment, you think?
They got him into more space. I think the biggest issue with San Francisco's defense is the safety play. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not quick enough to like make the initial read, like, okay, this isn't going to be a deep pass. I don't need to be deep down the field. And they don't have the speed to close into the middle. So it gave Kelce a lot of space. It gave Mahomes a ton of space to make those runs. Like, there were times where it looked like he was going to be sacked and he ripped off 15 yards.
Yeah.
Like, that was ridiculous, man. And I really think that we can start, saying that this iteration of the Chiefs is kind of like that next dynastic team.
Easy.
Because there can only be one. Let's be honest. It's the fucking Highlander, right? Mm-hmm. There can only be one. For 20 years it was the Pats. Mm-hmm. I think you might see, we might see a prolonged run with the Chiefs, because look at what Mahomes has done in just these first few years, man. Absolutely.
I can't think of another quarterback who's come on to the scene. Some people might say Roethlisberger, but still, there were some pretty good defenses in Pittsburgh.
Roethlisberger lived off the back of that defense. It made – when you have a defense that only allows, 15 points a game,
yeah,
there is no issue for your quarterback, no issue for your offense, because they don't have to put up a ton of – they don't have to put up a ton of points to win, you know? But when you're a team like Kansas City – who those first few years of Mahomes' career, the defense wasn't that good. Like, he knew, I got to play out of my mind, in order for us to be successful. And I think Mahomes has done nothing but that, really, since he got to the NFL.
I can't think of any player in my lifetime that is this exciting and has the W's behind their name at such a young age. And also has the titles. So I'm a Broncos fan. So young John Elway was definitely a very exciting player, mm-hmm. as to a fault. As a Browns, well, you were a Pats fan, but still, you're from Cleveland.
Yeah, and let's face it. If I have a number two team, it's the Browns. I mean, I wrote about the fucking team for 2 years, for crying out loud, and I'm gonna tell you right now, mm-hmm. when you are writing objectively about a team that you actually give a shit about, you're the worst person on the planet.
Those were some good Browns teams back then. You're not writing about them in 86.
No, absolutely not. Five. I was five. Well, writing about them in crayon.
But, when you Michael Vick comes to mind, even – who else would you say? Cunningham comes to mind.
I'm going
to
say right now, Vic was a case for me of a dude who could make all the throws if he wanted to.
Yeah.
And the thing is when he left VT, and had that amazing sophomore year, right?
Yeah.
You know, he's the only guy keeping Virginia Tech in that national championship game, right? Like he's it. And then he goes to Atlanta, and it's not, I mean, Atlanta was a, it was a, there's a reason it was picking top 10, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't that good. It still wasn't that good a couple of years down the road. And Vic was playing just like he did in Blacksburg, you know, a very run first quarterback. He could get the ball a million yards downfield, but it, imagine if you would have been able to combine like second year of Philly Mike Vick with rookie Mike Vick, right? A guy who knew how to read the field and also know when to like tuck and run. Holy shit, man. That guy would have been unstoppable.
The twitch on Michael Vick was insane.
Dude, he has, like, have you watched rugby, like the kind of start, the jump stop they do, and they like at top speed? Vick was able to do that on a football field, which is nuts. You know, like nobody, you're absolutely right. The way he would just be able to shift, and it's like you couldn't even see it until they put it in slow motion. But then you look and see the defender with both knees dislocated and his ankles are broken. You know, like.
I can't think of anyone that's this exciting of a player. You even think of the early Dan Marino years when Miami's, you know, constantly in the, you know, championship rounds of
they're in the mix. And they're in the mix, and they had that like really amazing offense with like Super Duper and
Michael Clayton and Mark Clayton and Mike Duper.
Yeah. And then you had
really good offensive line.
Yeah, and the thing is that with those torpedo those Dolphins teams were that was a defense. Those Dolphins teams put like all their chips were in on the offense, and Shula's like, we're going to get them. We're going to get them with this offense. And they're like, hey, coach, we know you're like pretty high up there. You're one of the winningest coaches in the NFL, and you still coach for another, I think, you know, 10, 15 years after that fact. Yeah. Should we play defense? What? Defense? No!
Run a 4-3. What? They're like Joe Biden.
Oh man.
But you know, all those names that we just named, Marino went to a Super Bowl one time.
His rookie year. His second year. Okay, it was the second year, and then he never went back.
The second year Dan Marino put up is the only year better than it is Peyton Manning's like 15th year.
Yeah.
And that says a lot about that second year for Dan Marino.
Yeah, and that was the year
they beat the Bears.
Yeah, I think wasn't it? Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. That was your Manning. That was what the year before his elbow just stopped working.
Yeah,
yeah.
And he started throwing the punts.
And the thing is, I felt bad because like we got so used to like vintage Manning, and we're like, eventually the wheels have got to fall off, you know, after that Super Bowl year. No, they beat the Panthers, didn't they?
They beat the Panthers, yeah.
Because I remember Cam Newton taking flak for not chasing down a fumble.
Watch that play again. And I hate people say, you didn't put your nose in there. It's like, dude, he was walking backwards. You know, he probably could have jumped in there, but it wouldn't have done anything.
Yeah, yeah. You know, but, you know, we're like, man, the wheels got to fall out if eventually. And then, like, week two of the following season, you see the first – like you said, the first punt get released from his hand, they're like, oh God, it's happening.
Like it was bad.
You know? Yeah, I did not want to watch that in real time, right? I didn't, you know, because like this is a guy who is going to go down top three QBs to ever.
Hey, I didn't realize that his season where he broke all those records, which is now a 16-game season, they have an extra game, no one's come close. And
yeah.
You know, again, when we think about and they lost that year. They lost to the Seahawks that year. So when we think about these great quarterbacks, Joe Montana, I guess was fun, but I feel like that team in it was fun. More so than Joe Montana. Steve Young was actually more fun to watch than Joe Montana.
Yeah, don't you think that you could have put, you know, honestly, you could have put Tony Eason in San Francisco and probably still come away with two Super Bowls because of, you know, Roger Craig, Brent Jones, Rathman, You had Jerry Rice and John Taylor, that just stout offensive line. Like, I feel like I probably could have got a Super Bowl.
Joe Montana, you know, puts up some decent years. No one loves talking about Troy Aikman.
Prolific at the time. Like, we have to give him his due there, right? Like, we had 1,000-yard, like, 1,200-yard receivers before, but it was more like Jerry Rice and Largent made that the standard, right?
And also, remember, on that team, you said Roger Craig. Roger Craig also caught 100 balls one year, and I think he's the only 1,000-1,000 player.
He had 1,000 yards. Well, no, he was the only 1,000-1,000 one until Marshall Faulk.
Oh, Marshall Faulk. Okay, good call.
Yeah. Forgot about Marshall Faulk. But he was the only one for like 15 years or something, you know?
The numbers that players were able to put up in that offense, the way they were able to win games, you know, down, kind of like you see with the Chiefs a little bit. The thing about the Chiefs is it's like every year.
Yep.
And it wasn't like that with the Niners. In 10 years, they won 4 Super Bowls. That's a lot.
Yep.
But the Chiefs are how many? 4? 3.
3 and 5.
3 and 5.
Which
who's going to beat him?
I mean, if this is okay, we're jumping a little ahead here, but I don't give a shit, honestly. I'm in a good mood, you know, clean bill of health now, y'all, and I'm having some celebratory White Claws because they're cheap and I had a coupon and I'm drinking on a budget. But the fact of the matter is this: like, when we look at the AFC now, like, the only teams I think they're going to be able to keep up are mostly in the AFC North. Cincy, Cleveland, Baltimore. Right? Cleveland, if they can get Watson at 80% of what he used to be, that's going to be a phenomenal team. Okay? They got the offense. They got the defense. Cincy, they get Burrow to bounce back. We already know that Higgins is going to be given the franchise tag, and if they draft smart, which Cincinnati's front office is night and day from what it was when we were growing up, you know, like they're it's a much different team, much different front office, I should say, that made a much different team. They've got the guns and the players to keep up. They can turn that game into a shootout, and I think that would be problematic for the Chiefs now. I like that Clark said he wants to stick around. He's kind of the linchpin of that defense up front. And that's why I give the Kansas City Chiefs a lot of credit for. They owned the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball the entire game. Now, Mahomes was hurried quite a bit. And that's what's going to happen when you have a Bosa and a Chase Young and an Eric Armstead all on your front four that you're immediately going against. But see, what I liked is Mahomes was able to kind of get away from pressure and deliver a ball. And he took everything that was given to him, which is what I loved. When the Chiefs were down, he didn't just try and go for a big chunk play. Mm-hmm. He was like, you know what? If I can get 5 yards out of this, let's get 5 yards. You know, you saw him audible a lot out of a pass into a run where that picked up 3 or 4 yards. I mean, he came into the game already doing that. Like, he was a smart ball player. Like, he wasn't one of those kids that needed, you know, someone in his ear the entire time. Now he's just like, bro, like, I've got a chance. You know, he's able to, like, I hate using this phrase because it's so fucking cheesy, but he's playing chess when a lot of other people are playing checkers. He's a really
good player. I think you're right on, though.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I think you're right on.
He's just done he was already good at that and then got better, which is nuts. You know, so he was able to read everything that San Fran's defense was thrown at him. And then I felt kind of bad for Steve Wilks. Like, he's the guy that got like the 1 year shot in Carolina, got fired. You know, he gets picked up and maybe he doesn't have the right system for all the players San Francisco has. But why the fuck would you fire a guy that coached a top 4 defense? You know, I'm just like, okay, maybe Shanahan is the smartest guy in the room, right?
Well, you saw who he picked up.
Yeah, I mean, Staley's going to be a defensive assistant. They promoted their DC within. Like, for me, I'm sorry, dude. I'm going to tell you right now, Virtuoso, I agree with you. Steve Spagnuolo, he's done a phenomenal job at that defense since he took over. Phenomenal job. I don't think anybody could take it away from him. That guy was a system guy for years, got his taste at being a head coach, didn't work out very well, and then was like, you know what, I'll have a system, but what I'm going to do is cater that system to the players I have and put my players into the best positions to succeed at their, you know, where they play. And he's done a great job, phenomenal job, since he's done that. And I wish more fucking coaches would do that, you know? Von Miller, the Jason Miles of linebackers. Dr. Claw, I agree.
I'll take that every day of the week and twice on Sunday. Now I want to fast forward because I don't want to take all of your time tonight. I don't know if you watched the show last night. It was intense, to say the least.
Jason, I didn't get to watch the show. What I did last night is because I'm still kind of sore. Mm-hmm. I did yoga. I stretched. Mm-hmm. I sat down with some water. And I'm playing Witcher 3 for like the 5 millionth time because, you know, I was laid up. I was like, might as well. And then, you know what I decided to put on? The last Champagne Room you did. And that's when I texted you. Jason.
That's what you were talking about.
Yes.
What was that? Which one was that? Was that the squirting one?
Cat Williams and Joe Rogan.
Oh, I clipped that, by the way.
Oh, my God, my
friend.
That's
coming out next week. Yeah.
I was just like, I got on Patreon. I'm like, I saw Pascal's back, you know, glad he's back with us, back in the fold. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to listen to this one because, you know, Toussaint's on and it's you. And I'm like, this is going to be funny as shit. And then I immediately hear Joe Rogan. You know, and I was like, no, 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 no. And then you hear Joe Rogan, what about the pyramids, Kat? And I'm like, oh, God, no.
And it was just this. It was boo-boo. Yeah.
Like you heard the plane. Like,
raw boo-boo. Yeah.
You know? And I'm like, I'm having to like pause and like laugh and cry all at the same time, you know. It was a whole emotional roller coaster for me. Like I swung violently into rage for a little bit and then back into laughter and then and I'm with Pascal the entire time, like, you know, and he's just like, what the what? You know, just sitting there like, Jesus Christ, man.
Raw boo boo, man. That's what he's
yeah. You know what I mean? And it's like, this is the one I picked. This is the one I picked for myself.
Well, you should have. I made a clip and I dropped it today. Me and Pascal, Burt Cooper. The whole is me, Pascal, Burt Cooper, Jason England, and Toussaint all watched that David Lucas guy that's friends with Joe Rogan go on Willie D's show. And we just ripped this dude. Oh. We rip this dude.
And see, this is hitting close to home because I don't know if you saw who won the Republican primary here in North Carolina for governor.
Is that the black guy?
Oh, the large black man, yes.
Yeah. Raw boo boo.
Trans and leftist shot.
Yeah. Crazy as fuck.
Trump is the god lord of the universe. You know, like. So. When I see this, and I told everybody, I'm like, he's going to win the nomination. Everybody's like, there's no way. North Carolinians aren't that bigoted. I'm like, where the fuck have you been? They left the United States at one point to join a country whose entire platform was, got to keep them black folks in chains, man. That's the only way we're going to survive, you know? Like, so how are North Carolinians not that bigoted? And they're like, and then this is my favorite part, Jason. They can't be bigoted. He's black.
Oh, that I love that when people just go, oh, but they're black, and that means that it's okay. Look, we have a colored. That's what this guy was for Joe Rogan, and there's a clip up right now where we shit on that guy. But you have to learn a new term. I haven't put it on the soundboard yet.
Okay.
But when I was growing up, if a kid took a crap. Your parent, my grandma called it boo boo. You gotta go boo boo.
Okay.
So So I think this dude is like a mayor of some city or police chief or something. And he's explaining why they couldn't go into a house. And he says, because the house smelled like boo-boo. And then he goes, raw. And then he says, raw boo-boo. And then this woman made a song about it. And I just need you to see this, man.
Okay.
Smell like boo-boo. Raw boo-boo.
Hello? Hey. Hey, what's up, Rita? How you doing? Can I come over tonight? Can you come over tonight?
Yeah.
Nah, darling, you can't come through. The real reason you can't come through is because my house smell like boo-boo. Oh. And not just any kind of boo-boo, like raw boo-boo. You ever smell raw boo-boo?
Yeah.
It's like wild-caught organic.
Mm.
It ain't filtered.
Mm.
It's not for concentrate. It's just every day. My house smell like boo-boo. Raw boo-boo. Yeah. Oh. That's how I feel when I smell it. When I go in and I smell that raw boo-boo, I just say, my house smell like, my house smell like, it smell like raw boo-boo.
Organic, Jason. It's organic.
So anything?
Not from concentrate. Not from concentrate.
So anything that sucks, it's raw boo-boo.
Okay. See, we really need to get a handbook, Jason, for all the characters and the wordplay we have for the show. That way, when someone's out for a little bit, you can be like, hey, Mac, I need you to check Appendix 4 of the TIR handbook. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I just go to it, and I'm like, raw boo-boo. Okay, I get it. Boo-boo. I get it. Okay. Mm-hmm.
That, yeah.
Oh, man.
Okay, so the combine just happened, and of course.
Okay, before we get into the combine, I have a love-hate relationship with this entire thing, right?
Ooh.
It's lay it on. It's a human meat market. It's a human meat market, and I fucking hate that. And I'm glad players are opting out of it now. Like, if you want to see me throw or run or lift, you can come to my pro day at a university that I go to, or I did, right? And run on a field I'm familiar with and lift weights that I'm familiar with and be around coaches that I'm familiar with. You can do that because you work for teams that are valued in the billions, bro. Pay for a fucking flight, okay? Now, the part I love about it is you have a guy like Xavier Thomas, that wideout from Texas, that maybe was a second or third round pick. And then he sets the land speed record in the 40-yard dash. And suddenly you're like, that man's a first round pick right there.
That's how it works.
And even if Xavier Thomas pulls a Mike Mamula, he still made some change before, you know, finding himself playing in the UFL. Okay? Like, that's all I want for the guy. I want him. Like, do I want every player to be successful? I wish that was the case. I wish that could happen, right? But realistically, you can't have that. Like, that's not how it – but I at least want them to get paid some money. So if he can go from a second or third round pick to a first rounder where he's going to be guaranteed, like, you know, $12 million, you're good for a long time with that if you're smart with your money. You know, like –
But that's the whole thing about being smart with your money. We're talking about people that are now they're in their mid 20s, right? They're mid to late 20s when they're leaving college, but still. Caleb Williams to me is the first of an interesting prospect. If you remember when Elway came out, and sorry, my football knowledge does go beyond John Elway, but he is a pivotal player.
Are you sure? Ugh.
You know, remember, he didn't want to go to the Colts.
He was the guy that was like, you know what, Ursay? I hate Indianapolis so fucking much, or Baltimore so much. Mm-hmm. He actually was, like, they recorded him on the phone call saying it's a shithole city and I want no part of living there on the East Coast. He's like, I'll go play for the Yankees. And then Irsay was like, the Yankees are on the East Coast. And Elway was just like, I'm not playing for the Colts. You know, when I come
They didn't, him and his dad didn't like the coach and, you know, yada, yada, yada. Burt Jones was there who was, you know, outside of an injury, Burt Jones would have been a much, you know, bigger star had he not gotten injured in a time where that injury was a career ender.
Yep.
And he, you know, manipulated the game and got traded to Denver and, you know, the rest is history. Eli Manning does it, what, damn near 30, 20 some years later.
Yep.
And
now, Caleb Williams, Jason, don't you think that was more Archie? I don't think that was Eli.
I'm just using Eli as the player. Yeah. We know that, yes, his father was moving.
I'm going to tell you right now, you could look at Eli's face and know that there's just two mice running around in there, right? He did not look like a dude that was going to make a power play to go to the team he wanted. He was just like more of the, I'm just really happy to be here. You know, where Peyton Manning is just like, goofy looking as fuck, very charismatic. Or as the youth like to say, Peyton has riz, whereas Eli did not. Right? Now you put the two of them together, Peyton can kind of carry him. Like I watched one of those Monday night games where they got those two like calling the games. But that was what, 04, 05, wasn't it?
Was it the year Vic came out?
No, I thought Vic came out in 01.
It was a few years after that. Was it the year Drew Brees came out and Tomlinson came out?
No, Brees came out the same year as Vic because Brees was
drafted in the second round. Ooh, we can look it up. You know, we have this silly thing called the internet.
Yeah, I was just hoping somebody in chat would do it.
But do you think, because Caleb Williams has made millions of dollars playing at the University of Southern California.
Mm-hmm. Let's not think that he didn't make a big chunk of change at Oklahoma as well.
Sure. You know, I saw pictures of him in his apartment. You know, I saw these think pieces about him and his beautiful fucking LA apartment.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at this guy who's just tailor-made for the league. He's got a smile that can't quit. His game is otherworldly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You and I are both every throw in the pocket, not out of it. He can make it every throw in the pocket. Pressure does not bother this young man at all. All the knocks on him are BS.
Oh, absolutely.
But I really like what Justin Fields did at the end of the season in Chicago.
Dude, let's just get this out of the way right now. Justin Fields willed the Bears to four of those seven wins. He really did.
Yeah.
He still needs some polish as a passer. Yes, very, very true. When you look at the system he came from at Ohio State, it was use the cannon. You didn't see a lot of dump-off throws.
No.
Right? Because that's not how the system works.
Nope.
All right. It was stretch the field, use the speed you have on the outside. That's why he was so prolific through the air for a guy who needed some work throwing the ball, mm-hmm. right? But the best Ohio State quarterbacks do what? Well, they run.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. With the exception of JT Barrett, that's a conversation for another day. I don't want to talk about JT Barrett right now because I'm in a good mood. but he gets to the NFL and he gets into a team that just, there's always a lot of turnover. You know, a lot of kind of trying to force a square peg into a round hole. You know, why don't you keep the offense a little simpler? I don't think the players are going to be mad if, you know, the skill players are going to be mad as long as they're getting their touches and their yards, right?
Yeah.
You don't need players or you don't need playbooks that are so dense that it takes you out of the 35-second play clock. It takes you 20 seconds to get the fucking play out.
I hate
that. You
don't need that. Yeah.
You don't need that. You're not being cute, right? The thing is, there's so much coaching turnover that we know what the difference between an X receiver and a Z receiver is on two different teams. You know? Mm-hmm. We know that. So, like, why do that? And you know, between not this past season, but the season before that, you know, Fields was putting some things together, and then Luke Getsy comes in, who's just I don't understand how that fucker's still working. But, you know, Justin Fields willed the Bears to 4 out of 7 wins, and the Bears shouldn't have won 7 games last year. Should not have won 7 games last year. Mm-hmm. So if you want to cut them loose, if you want to cut Fields loose, I've already tried to figure out what the number is to the guy calling the personnel decisions at the Patriots, and give him a second. Give him a second pick, bring in Fields, please. Please bring in Fields. I will take Justin Fields. You use that third pick on Marvin Harrison, and let's fucking go. You know, I don't see a playoff, appearance, but you know what would be better than the fucking shit season we had last year? 7-8 wins. I'd take that with a smile.
In building.
Yeah.
In building.
I'd be okay with that.
Okay. So do you think then the Bears are just going to go draft Caleb Williams and not, but there's a lot of value in that pick. They can get a lot of picks for that one this year. I'd trade out of that spot if I was Chicago.
Here's why they don't. Okay. Gosh. And everybody, if you watched the last regular episode of TIR that I did, I talked about stadiums. Mm-hmm. What are the Bears trying to get right now? Uh-huh. A new stadium. They just bought an old racetrack outside of the city in the burbs to put up a brand new state-of-the-art stadium.
Gotcha.
If you go ahead and draft, if you don't draft Caleb Williams, right? Because it seems like the Bears, the writing's already on the wall. Fields is gone. I think that's something that's like the worst kept secret in the NFL right now, right? Mm-hmm. Go ahead and trade out. And Jason, I'm with you. I would trade back, try and get like a second first round or another first rounder. Because, the Bears also picked 9th as well. Mm-hmm. And try and just stack as much first round talent, because what is it? It's cheap. It's under team control for 5 years if you pick up the option, right? Mm-hmm. You're able to cut salaries, manage the cap. Stadiums typically take 2.5, 3.5 years to put up, right? Mm-hmm. To get up. Mm-hmm. Within that 5-year window, your team's already on the up. I think Caleb Williams would be very good. I think he's going to need some coaching. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he's going to need an actual dedicated quarterback coach, not the fucking, well, I'm the OC and the QB coach. No, not in the NFL. You cannot fucking do that, because that quarterback needs somebody to talk to and bounce things off of directly. Mm-hmm. And as an offensive coordinator, you cannot do that, right? There's just too much going on in the game right now for you to be able to do that. So that's why I think they do it. We bring in this guy that's going to put asses in seats in our last few years at Soldier Field. Going into the new building, we've got some momentum going. There's a lot of young talent. They're starting to draft a little better. I'll give the Bears that. They just can't coach it very well, if we're being honest. But that's why. There's a new stadium to be had, and they want people to be excited about the team going into it. And you know what's not exciting? Trading back. I hate to say that, but that is the long and short of it.
But if you're building, can you get excited? Because, again, Justin Fields kind of showed out at the end of the year. DJ Moore is a fun receiver to watch those two build together.
Yes.
I think you have a nucleus with those two. Maybe do you just go trade and with your 9th pick take the best D end?
Yeah. They're going to have to, get better on the defensive line. I would probably go ahead and maybe try and sign or draft, maybe sign one, draft one, corners, two corners that, you can never have too many in the NFL these days. And just be smart. Like, the NFL salary cap went up $30 million yes. between last season and going into this season. So there's a lot of extra money out there, unless you're one of the 7 teams that was over the cap. So for the vast majority of the league, you got an immediate $30 million infusion into what you could do, So that's huge,
And do you think Washington wants to give up a lot of ass to get that number one spot and have the Bears trade?
No, I don't think so. I think they're new
and just take whatever falls their way, because there's so much talent in this draft.
Yes. And honestly, there's so much talent that the GM of the Commanders is talking about trading back, and that would be smart, because there's so many holes on that team. They're not close to competing, right, in the NFC East. Mm-hmm. The NFC North, I think, is maybe a little different, right? Like we had the Lions. We saw the Lions explode.
Oh, that was beautiful.
They had an amazing season, yeah. Right? And there's a lot of building blocks there, a lot of young players. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we have extra wild cards in the league now. So, okay, maybe I can't win the division, but what I can do, bam, I can go and get a wild card, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's easier to do that in the NFC North, where you might have a completely rebuilding Vikings. The Packers look better at the end of the season yeah. when Jordan Love got acclimated to the game, yeah. but the Packers have a lot of holes too. Yes. You know, so and then you have the Bears. You know, it's just, you know, it's going to be easier for them. Like if I'm the GM of the Commanders and I'm looking at the writing on the wall, and I'm the GM of the Bears and I'm looking at the writing on the wall. Me as the GM of the Bears, I'm going to pack as much talent as I can in now, and hope for one of those wild cards. And because that's what Bears fans want. I don't even think they give a fuck about winning the playoff game. It'd just be nice to get back there. Right. So, you know, when you look at the Commanders, that is a very talent deficient team, and they broke BTR rule number one. They trusted a UNC quarterback. You don't do that. You don't fucking do that. And that's what I'm trying to scream at the Patriots right now. I was like, do not take Drake May. I don't want to see another Tar Heel QB.
Why ever. Do these people think Drake May is going to do anything in the NFL? Why? Did he wow you at the combine? Honestly, he didn't even throw. Did Drake May throw? He didn't throw.
No, he's thrown at play day or at pro day. And honestly, I got to watch a lot of Carolina football. He looked good against ACC teams. I mean, and let's face it, there's not there. That's nothing to get excited about. You know, like that's. You know, it's like you're the guy at the porno, you know, shoot with a micro penis. Yeah, you're at a porno shoot, but you still got a really small dick. You know?
Okay, so the guys that threw, Penix threw, who in the quarterback position at the combine wowed you?
Bo.
Really?
He looked really good.
Tell me, what about Bo Nix wowed you? Because, okay, Bo Nix and Michael Penix are both about 26.
Give or take, 26. Yeah. I think they're within a year of each other, yeah. 25, 26, yeah.
You can't get more film on two QBs other than Penix and Nix.
Two guys
that were groomed for the league, even though Penix started in Indiana. I was telling you when he was at Indiana, this kid's going to go to the league. He goes
Absolutely.
To Washington, rewrites
Absolutely.
Washington's record books. And even though the championship game, that team just got mollywopped by Michigan, yeah. but take nothing away from Michael Penix. A lot of people won national championships and their quarterbacks did jack dick in the NFL.
Danny Werfel, all I'm saying. Danny fucking Werfel. No, I'll tell you right now, Penix has spoiled me because I got to watch him play Big Ten football. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he played for Indiana, but he played with guys that were not good. And nope. he's still impressed, right? Mm-hmm. So I expect this out of Michael Penix, right? I expect mm-hmm. it. With Bo Nix, I watched him at Auburn, and he did not look like a guy that was going to be worth a shit.
No. He looked very pedestrian.
And he looked very overwhelmed. Right. Mm-hmm. Very overwhelmed, you know, and I was like, when I saw he was transferring to Oregon, I'm like, who gives a shit, man? He looked like straight ass at Auburn. And then he gets there and holy shit, this is what real coaching does. Right.
Yeah.
So when we talk about their commensurate, right.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't expect Bo Nix to just show and yeah, he had a great last couple of years at Oregon, right?
Yeah,
but again, I'm gonna tell you right now, dude, ACC's got the micro penis at the porn shoot. The Pac-12 had like 5 inches. Okay, that's all I'm saying. Right? You know, the Pac-12 was right? And So it was surprising to see Knicks make the throws that a couple years ago didn't look like he can make, right? Now, I think the biggest thing is, you know, who's getting drafted where?
Yeah.
All it takes is for one team to fall in love with one player, and it could throw off everybody's draft projection, right?
I'm scared the Broncos are falling in love with Bo Nix.
Wait a minute. Do they even have a first rounder this year?
Number 12.
Okay, so they have a first round this year. Oh my gosh, Jason, yeah. I almost had White Claw come out of my nose. I've been very
I'm reading that the Broncos interviewed Nix, May, and JJ McCarthy. I'm like, if you don't draft Michael Penix.
Okay, I'm gonna tell you right now. This is the sad part. Is the fucking sad part. Nix, Penix, better QBs. JJ McCarthy is going before both of them. Just because he won a national title.
And JJ McCarthy will go before, as long as he doesn't go to Denver.
The thing that kills me about JJ McCarthy is he's not that good. The running game and defense carried Michigan the entire time he was a starter. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how Joe Milton lost the job to JJ McCarthy. Milton was the quarterback that transferred to Tennessee, and I don't know if you saw what he did. Off a knee, threw it 75 yards. Air.
Yeah.
Right? How does a guy with an arm like that lose a job to JJ McCarthy? I'm just like, fuck. And this isn't Ohio State hate, right? This is JJ McCarthy is the epitome of a game manager. He does exactly what you tell him to do, right? And that's all well and good. But what happens when you need that QB to step up and make those reads and then those plays to win? JJ McCarthy's not your guy. You know, like, it's one thing to say, dude, he was a winner the entire time he was in college. Cool. That's very cool. It might be true. What did he do to will his team to one of those wins or two of those wins or 10 of those wins?
Well, didn't he not throw a touchdown pass on there was like, what, a 4 or 5 game streak when Michigan was winning this year? He didn't have to throw a touchdown pass.
He didn't have to. You know, because that running game was so good. I mean, if anybody should be getting like a football boner over anybody in the Michigan skill player wise, it should be Blake Corum. That guy is a fucking wrecking ball.
Yeah.
You know, the shitty thing is the poor guy plays a position. Nobody puts any, you know, they didn't put any value on a running back anymore. And I'm like, how?
Yeah, no. Bijan Robinson went in the first round.
Yeah, and again, that was the team that upset everybody's draft projection because nobody thought he was gonna.
And he played like a first-round running back.
No, I don't think so, and it's not because of
really?
Him. It's because Arthur Smith's a fucking moron.
Okay, look, the team is the team, but whenever I would see any sort of I watched a fair amount of Falcons games. The kid was fun to watch.
Dude, this is what I agree with you there, Jason. If I have Bijan Robinson in my backfield, hey, Bijan, how do you feel about 28 carries a day? Bet, coach, gotcha. Great. Arthur Smith would go back to him like, Bijan, what do you think about 28 carries a day? Hey, gotcha, coach. Bijan had 8 carries today. You know, like.
I didn't understand that team. I you know. But okay, so you said Bo Nix wowed you as far as the quarterbacks throwing. Who underwhelmed you as far as the quarterbacks throwing?
Honestly, Milton.
Really?
He had to kind of hit it out of – he had to hit a home run at the combine, and he didn't. He didn't do well on intermediate throws, which I thought was kind of weird because that was a big part of, like, Tennessee's game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is spreading the field, getting those. I mean, because Tennessee's got a good wideout room too. So you get their wideouts in space across the middle. What can they do? Catch and run, right?
Yeah.
You know, I just I expected better of them. Maybe that's my issue as just someone who loves the game, and I watch football and I watch film because it takes me away from dealing with late stage capitalism where I can zone out and you know. But I expected better of him. You know, you got this hyped recruit coming out of high school, initially goes to Michigan, transferred down to Tennessee so he can, like, get some playing time. And he didn't look the best in, you know, in game film. So I just figured maybe he, you know, just with, you know, no Under Armour shit on, you know, just, I wouldn't call it shirt and shorts because it's more like a bodysuit. I don't fucking know. you know, that it would be more comfortable for him. You know, it would be more comfortable.
Athleisure. I believe the term is athleisure.
Like Lulu, like pants and shorts now, so it doesn't really, you know, matter. But yeah, I expected a little more. And I don't know, man. It's kind of like I thought, you know, there's a couple guys I've missed on. Like Ohio State recruited this kid out of Vegas, and they did a documentary on him on Netflix. What the fuck was his name? He transferred to Miami. They moved him to wideout, then back to QB, and then he transferred to UNLV and quit when he couldn't get that starting QB job. Martell. Last name was Martell. But yeah, you know, Tate Martell. Thank you, Evan. You are a gentleman and a scholar. I appreciate you, Tate Martell. You know, I thought he was going to be the next big thing, and he was not at all. So
raw boo-boo.
Like QB, yeah, raw boo-boo was my take on Joe Milton and Tate Martell. Okay, so you know, but the thing is prognosticating young quarterbacks is always going to be a crapshoot because you don't know how your coaching staff's really going to mesh with this kid, or maybe how he deals with the lights at a big program. Yeah. You know, honestly, I think Tate Martell probably should have went to a Mountain West school. Him at like Boise State would have been chef's kiss. Mm-hmm. And then maybe you transfer to a bigger program, you know, once you got some game film, you know, but he went right to Ohio State and he could not win that job. Could not win that job. That quarterback room was fucking packed, dude. And the thing is, when Justin Fields transferred in there after his 1 year at Georgia, Martell was like, I ain't going nowhere. Season started, season gets to week two, he transferred to Miami. You know, he's just like, he wasn't even fucking QB2, man. That's how bad it was for Tate Martell.
Remember when quarterbacks just stayed on the team and then they still got drafted?
Matt fucking Castle. Case in point.
Say no more.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, like, think about, do you remember Miami?
You know, and that's okay, though. Like, I love this. Like, I think there still needs to have some work to be done with like the transfer portal opening and maybe moving back signing day, you know, but I love it, man. It's like having two free agency periods and like one,
I don't care where these kids go. Ultimately, it's the student athlete. One thing it has done, and I think this is for the better, it has destroyed that idea of the student athlete.
Oh,
which I'm fine with.
Thank you.
I'm totally fine with that. Right. But come on, man. You're going to tell me you don't miss those days of seeing like Miami with Jim Kelly and Cozars as backup coming in the blowout games. And then who was Cozars backup? Dude, Steve Walsh.
And remember, Walsh.
No, Vinny Testaverde. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Vinny T.
Jim Kelly, Vinny Testaverde.
Vinny T and Walsh,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. It's and Jim then Kelly. Remember, it's Jim Kelly, Walsh. Bernie Kosar, and Vinny Testaverde. Then Steve Walsh, and then
Gino Toretta. Gino
Toretta doesn't come to
mind. Oh, Craig Erickson, then.
Craig Erickson, then Gino Toretta. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, but they were like, what's funny is that run of QBs, like two of those guys were on the roster for like 2 or 3 years before they got to play. They just.
and they just kept like balling. Just balling. And there were like, think about USC, Carson Palmer. Who's Carson's backup, bro? Matt Leinart. Who's Matt Leinart's backup? The pretty Mark Sanchez.
He of the butt fumble.
He still went to two AFC championship games.
Yeah, he did. But he didn't get a Super Bowl, so I don't give a fuck.
I'm just saying that there were some schools that, you know, when we think about the quarterback rooms in some of these schools, and the talent, the competition that must have been happening. That in even I was watching an interview with Matt Leinart talking about being a young person at USC with Carson Palmer and all those guys and rooming with them. And, you know, I don't know, something I appreciate about that. But again, the way this new game is going and exposing the lie of the student athlete, I'm totally okay with. All that being said, what running backs impressed you? I'm sorry, that's not running backs. What defensive linemen impressed you at the combine?
Dude, I'm not going to lie. I forgot his name. I actually wrote my notes out because like I was at work and then I forgot my notes at work. but there was there this D lineman who like set the D line record with his 40, but also like put 225 up around 35 times. Great pad work, great like standing and long jump. Chat, you can give me shit or you could look it up because I'm lazy. He looked great. Like the thing is, we're gonna have what the biggest for me was Latuiu. I always get the Samoan and Islander names messed up. He's the kid out of UCLA who was supposed to be like the next great thing since sliced bread, according to for edge rushers, and he looked horrible compared to his peers at the combine. I think maybe he might just be one of those guys that looks better on the field than he does like in a gym, which I don't think that's there's fine. Anything.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. Would you rather have a guy like that? Or again, going back to Mike Mamula, who set the combine on fire in 95, became a first round pick and then did less in the NFL than I have, you know, like that's not
workout. That's freaks, not a good thing. Workout freaks or 40 time freaks or high jump freaks tend to not, if anything, you move up a little bit, right? Maybe in the draft, maybe you even get picked when you weren't going to get picked at all. You were going to be an undrafted, but I'm more of a, what do you have on the tape? What have you put on the field?
Yeah. And see, that's, I'm with you on that one, Jason. Like it's great if you got a dude who can put up 225 million times or, you know, standing, you know, or high jump, freaking long jump, all that. That's great. Those are nice metrics to like compare them to their peers, but I want to see what he did on game film, right? And I don't give a shit if this dude played at D3 Mount Union. How did he do on the field? What were his what were his shifting? How was his shiftiness? Yeah. What was his lateral agility? Yeah. What was his straight line speed with a ball on his in his hand and pads on? Like, yeah, it's great if a guy can run a 4.2 140 straight line, flat surface, nobody in front of him. But how does this kid do when he runs a route, he catches the ball, and he's got an outside linebacker and a safety in front of him, or, you know, a combination of the outside linebacker or safety in a corner? Like, what does that look like? How did he do in those situations in school? Like, that's what I want to see. Like I said, in under optimal conditions, we can all perform the best we can given time to train, which is all the combine is, right? These guys have done nothing since the end of the season, since then eat right, lift, run, and do
specific drills for this workout dog and pony show. That is at this point,
yes, and it's
less about your draft position, let's be honest, and more about NFL dollars. Can we be honest with that?
Yes.
This is the best free labor job for the NFL ever. We got a week. We got a month. Once the season's over, we're going to get you ready for the combine. Remember when the combine was like a handful of coaches and scouts and they weren't.
Oh, yeah. Tickets? Not even. The thing is, I remember growing up, you might have gotten half the coaching staffs in the NFL to show up.
Yeah.
And maybe if you're not sending a coaching someone from the staff, you'd send a front office person. But you know who certainly wasn't going to fucking be there unless you were picking in the top five? The general manager.
Yeah.
You got some kind of like advanced scout. You're not even getting the lead scout. This is like the guy fourth down, you know, the pecking order, right? Who's like in bed at 12 o'clock midnight. and the lead scout calls him up. He's like, hey, Jason, I got you a red eye. You're going to be at Boston Logan at 5, and you're flying out to Indy. All right. Do I have a choice in this? Or do you want a job? Get your fucking ass on the plane. You know, like.
Yeah, you're going to take some notes and you're going to tell us, you know, what we already know about the player we're not going to draft, or a second round guy, or maybe a guy we're going to get now in the third round. That's really what it's for. There's a reason why these guys don't throw or run, or if they run, it's like, keep in mind, these people that are breaking records that you're hearing about, they're not going to be top 10 picks.
No, I mean, the thing is, like I said, Thomas was going to be like a mid to low second, early third rounder, runs a 4.21, probably got himself into like the bottom 10 of the first, maybe, just with that.
Maybe.
And honestly, that's because people look at people like Tyreek Hill, T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, all these guys that were burners at the combine, and they're like, we need a guy like that. The thing is, with Xavier Thomas, Texas has had very good seasons the last few years.
Yeah.
I have to give Sarkisian a lot of credit.
Had some good receiver play.
Yeah, but you know what? It hasn't been LSU good. It hasn't been Ohio State good, right? It hasn't been, and I would argue that those are the two best wide receiver rooms in the country right now. At this point in time, the two best wide receiver rooms in the country are Louisiana State and Ohio State. And if anybody wants to throw anything out there, we can talk about it. But I don't think you really argue that point right now. The way the game is, and now 2024. Oh,
Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase, anyone would take them as their number one wide receivers.
And you got to think, LSU going back years, Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, you know, there's been a lot of talent to cycle out in and out of Baton Rouge and Columbus at the wideout position. So, you know, but like Texas, like, I think there's a lot of talent in that room. Sarkisian just wasn't ready to like kind of lock and load it that way yet. And that makes sense. You went from a very talent deficient team. You're trying to rebuild it through good recruiting. He's done very well in Texas. I mean, fuck, he got Arch Manning to go there and sit.
Yeah.
And he's probably going to sit this year too, barring an injury to Quinn Ewers, which I'm going to tell you right now, everybody, I am not one of those guys. You know me. I don't want anybody to get hurt. I don't want to see anybody's career negatively affected by injury. Mm-hmm. Right. But how do you talk a Manning into sitting for 2 years? That is nuts to me. So I guess we'll see. Yeah, I guess we'll fucking see. But, you know, I just don't think that – I hope I'm wrong for Xavier Thomas. I hope Xavier Thomas gets drafted at the bottom of the first round and goes out and just
– balls out.
Balls.
Yeah.
Yep, that's what I want for him.
Well, okay.
But I don't think that's going to happen.
Let me ask you about another player, and then we can get into the draft. We'll do the first round. We'll look at the first round, what's projected, and you tell me what you think. And then, we can go night-night. Jaden Daniels, in my opinion, is too thin. And he doesn't – I remember watching RG3 at Baylor, who also was a similar build. But man, RG3 threw the prettiest deep ball.
RG3, and I'll give him all the credit in the world, his time at Baylor. He did a lot with his legs, but that guy made every throw on the field too.
Yeah.
That's the way the Art Briles offense kind of worked.
Yeah.
Right? Like the way the Art Briles tree works, or as I like to call him, you know, the guy who likes rape because he did nothing to stop it while he was coached there. You know, it went, your initial read was the deep read, right? And then you just went down, you know, depending on the time in the pocket you had. That's how his kid, Kendall Briles, runs essentially the same offense. Your first read, your initial read is that deep man. If you see he's got separation or he's got behind his man, that's where you're going, right? You let him finish out his tree and you talk, you like huck it, chuck it football, right? Mm-hmm. If you see he's not behind his man or his man's going, you know, sitting there with them, your next read, you know, your next read down is the intermittent throw. And then you have an out, whether it's the tight end or the running back, right? So if, can you imagine, right, the patience that has to take, and you have to make that decision within 2 seconds, you know, and RG3, I think was like a 67 to 69%, you know, completion percentage get dude in college. Like that's phenomenal, you know, absolutely phenomenal. So, Jaden Daniels, I didn't really like. He was more like a. He got better the more he played, which I think is a natural thing. Like the game kind of slows down for you, you get used to it. But the question I always ask is, was Daniels a beneficiary of just having really good wide receivers? You know,
he was exciting to watch at Arizona State.
Well, you got to think, dude. Arizona State, man.
Watch yourself.
Talk about a drop off. Talk about a drop off from like mid to late 90s, early 2000s. But ASU, like when you're the only talent in town,
mm-hmm.
and you have the entire program on your back, you kind of have to be exciting. You know,
he was somewhat exciting. I think he needed better coaching. He goes to LSU. He wins the Heisman. I don't know if he was the
Heisman.
Whatever.
I don't understand that. Yeah, Caleb Williams didn't win as many games. Okay. He should have won it. Penix should have won it. I will even argue this. Marvin Harrison should have won that fucking trophy over Jaden Daniels.
So he kind of stole, you know, he got a Heisman like Sam.
Darnold.
No, Darnold never won a Heisman.
Sam Bradford.
Sam Bradford won a Heisman 1 year. I was like, really? Was a real quarterback in the league. But
okay, and let's face it, mm-hmm. Sam Bradford is the smartest man alive. 2 major knee reconstructions in college,
mm-hmm.
another 2 in the pros.
Mm-hmm.
His first contract netted him almost $100 million.
I still don't understand that.
Sam Bradford was the reason they instituted the rookie salary cap.
I found a reason.
Now, he then put. Yeah. He parlays that into like 2 other contracts, $5 million. Fucking smartest man alive. Smartest man. Didn't even play half the games he was in the league.
He just
walked away with over $100 million. And holy the reason shit.
Is you.
That's right. Sam Bradford goes to rookie symposiums to tell guys how to like be good with their money, and the NFL just plays that song for him.
As he walks up to with his knees bone on bone. I'm not a perfect person.
I can barely walk right now.
I can barely use these knees. But, you know, you think about Jaden Daniels is projected. I'm looking at an NFL mock draft by CBS Sports here, Mac.
Oh, yeah.
Let's share the screen. You know what? It's 2024.
Let's use the technology at our hands. Modern
we have the technology.
Require modern solutions. That's the key.
So let's look here at the first round. We'll blow the screen up.
Wow, they have Jaden going second.
They have Jaden Daniels going second. They say Cliff Kingsbury gets to go from working with Williams at USC to another Heisman-winning quarterback in his rookie season in the NFL. I still think Washington's going to try to find a way to get Caleb Williams because that's the move.
Bro, but do you think a rebuilding team is willing to give up the draft capital that we've seen?
Yes.
Teams have to move up.
You know why? I know why. Because Kingsbury took – this is just – look. This is just my opinion, and you can tell me to go F myself on my opinion. Kingsbury took Kyler Murray. They get Kingsbury. They mm-hmm. get Kyler Murray. They just – and that starts the snowball effect that is the downward spiral of Josh Rosen's career, right? And
hold on. Before we go, let's tip one out to Josh Rosen. Okay, the poor guy just never got a shot. Okay? Even if you're sober, that's okay. Just take your cup of water.
Josh Rosen is like, remember that scene in Forrest Gump where he's trying to sit down? This seat's taken.
Everywhere he went. Like, if I'm Josh Rosen, like, I had a buddy that was like, why hasn't Rosen, like, went to the UFL because the UFL is dying. Like they want to stack all eight teams with at least three QBs, mm-hmm. right? Because the NFL wants developed mm-hmm. quarterbacks, mm-hmm. right? And where can you get a developed quarterback cheaper, college or the UFL? The UFL by a mile. And I'm like, I think he didn't really want to play in the NFL. You know, and I've told this story here before. Josh Rosen, before he shut his Twitter account down, on his profile picture, it was him in a Dolphins picture. His header was him drafted by the Cardinals. And then in the bio, it said Niners QB. Right? Like, my buddy was like, are you kidding? And I had screenshotted it because I thought it was hilarious. And then the pinned tweet, Jason, was him in a preseason game as a member of the Dolphins. Like, that was his pinned tweet. So, like, he's all over the place.
He never.
And I said,
like, this seat's taken. That's all he got. But Kingsbury takes Kyler Murray, and that team gets exciting, and they win some games. They go to the playoffs. And now we look at the Cardinals a little different. Kyler Murray is a real deal number one quarterback at 5'10".
5'8". What are you talking
about? Yeah, he's still 5'8". Crazy arm, crazy accuracy.
Yeah.
And I think with a guy like Jaden Daniels, who's what, 6? Let's see what the height is on him. They have the height up here. 6'4".
Mm-hmm. What's the weight? What do they say he's weighing?
They're saying he's coming in at 210.
Bullshit. I would give him 200 even.
200. And that's all that height. Yeah, I think he's real light for the position, and I saw what light did to RG3.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those cases of players. We've already seen a huge transformation how players approach sports nutrition and taking care of themselves.
Yes.
During season and postseason, right? Mitchell, he's got ass in bio because that's all that motherfucker pulls. Have you seen Josh Rosen? He's got that glassy-eyed expression. Just like
what the ladies love.
Just like, yeah, man. I played football.
I still got some number one draft money. Want to bang?
Yeah, man. Like, I live with my mom, so, like, I didn't have to pay rent. I got a lot of money. What do you think? Go back to my place? We'll get there. My mom will probably have a snack for us. It's great.
Look, I'm not going to shit on that. I will never forget this. This is, like, the greatest family ever to this day. Me and my ex were on tour, and there was this kid that would host this radio show out of Austin, and he would always have us on. And so we played a show in Austin, and he said it kind of, he goes, I don't have a lot of room at my parents' house, but I can ask my dad if you guys can come crash at my house if you don't want to stay in a hotel or a car or something. We're like, okay. And me and my ex think it's going to be like this little bitty, you know, fucking the way he's describing his dad. Is like this lowly man with like a dirt smudged face and shit. We get there, Mac, and these people live in some like uppity suburb. This big ass fucking house with a waterfall and a pool. You know, one of those kind of badass houses. And so we get in there probably like, you know, 1-2 in the morning. And he didn't tell us his older brother was a musician that was signed and played in Real Big Fish for years. And his dad was used to musicians coming by.
Okay.
And his dad was like, hey, I'm sure you guys are tired. I made you some meat and cheese trays.
Wait. So this dude is so used to musicians coming. And he okay, one, the older brother played in Real Big Fish, which we all know is a ska band, which he wasn't. Yes, they were signed. They absolutely were.
Yes.
Absolutely were. But we had that small, like, big band ska reintroduction in the late 90s. Mm-hmm. And then, like, as soon as new metal came out, everybody's like, I never wore a zoot suit and I don't like something. Okay.
I have no plaid pants or pork pie hat. What are you, fucking crazy?
my wallet chain did not go down to my knees, okay? It did not. But his older son was like, "Dad, yeah, we were signed. I did make some money, but like now I'm playing in Topeka on a Tuesday." He's like, "Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, pal. I got your charcuterie right here.
It's right here. Can I tell you how awesome these parents were? To the point about, you know, like the joke. And look, that is funny. Like my mom's got some sandwiches ready. So his wife was like handling some business somewhere else. The wife comes back and just the nicest people. They're just the nicest people. And we would, every time we would go to Austin, the dad would ask to see our tour route. And the dad goes, "Okay, it looks like you guys, after you play El Paso, just come here. Okay. Because the next few shows you have in Denton and everything, that's not that far. Just stay here. Use this as your home base until you go to New Orleans for your next, that show. And you can stay here." And what the mom would do is, they had this big cupboard, like a walk-in, I don't know what you call it, like a walk-in cupboard that's full of snacks. And she was like, "Just you kids go help yourself." And me and my ex were like, "Oh, we could just help ourselves. We'd just be eating shit." The mom, unbeknownst to us, Mac, would take notes of whatever we ate. And the last day as we were leaving, they would go to Costco.
Ugh.
And we'd have boxes of this stuff.
That is so fucking cool, man.
The people you meet, you can meet some good people in this world.
You can, especially like when you're trying to make it in music, and you know, like you know better than anybody else how hard that is.
Yeah.
And especially when you're touring places like Denton, fucking Texas.
Yeah. Like, playing JJ's Pizza on a Tuesday in Denton. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like fucking Real Big Fish.
Oh man, so yeah, every time I hear like it.
If anybody from Real Big Fish is watching, I'm not making fun of you. I'm just understanding your plight. Okay.
Once our van broke, and I'll shut up about this. Nobody wants to hear this. Our van broke once, and it was bad.
Just once. What kind of
This one time our van broke. This one time our van broke. So I think we were on our second or third van at this point, and it had broke. And this tweaker dude that we knew had put something together with like a hanger. Like you shouldn't be driving cross country like this. And so the family goes, "We're gonna take it to our mechanic." And we had some money, but it would have broken us. It would have been really rough.
Yeah.
And so we were sitting waiting for the diagnosis. It was like we're waiting to hear back about a sick relative. And we're like sitting there like
I was during after my bus, sitting there like, "Oh God." Yeah,
it was like you're sweating. We're sitting there sweating like like Joe Exotic. "I'm never gonna recover from this.
I'm never gonna financially recover from this."
We're sitting there sweating, right? I can even remember what Chicky was my ex's name. What Chicky was wearing, she was wearing this like kind of like pink little fucking tank top thing. And so the phone rings and the mom answers the phone and she goes, "Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, go ahead. Just use that card. Okay." Hangs up the phone and me and Chicky look at each other and we're like, "No way." And the mom goes, "The van will be ready tomorrow. Whoever did that work to your guys' car, don't let them touch anything again." Mom's like scolding us, right? And so my ex starts crying. And there's other things these people did for us, but I think the story is funny. And so my ex starts crying and she walks over to the mom and she goes, "You can't do this nice stuff for us. We appreciate you guys. We love you guys so much, but we can't accept this. It's not like you guys are millionaires." And the mom looks at Max. She goes, "Oh, sweetie, we are."
Oh my God.
Yeah. What do you
see? Yeah. And that's the thing, like I hope at that point your ex was like, "Oh, then okay, good. Mm-hmm. Jason, I'll be right back. I'll use my eye makeup." Okay.
You just you we again, I, that's why I started the story by saying the way the kid described his home and his father was so like humble, and the people were super humble. But it's just insane what they would do for, you know, if somebody needed help, like a show canceled on us one day and they got upset about it. And they were like, we're going to throw you guys a show here in this house. And they called all their rich friends.
Oh,
and
wow.
My ex is a classically trained pianist. So she just played piano all night and we had a tip jar. And those people just put
fucking bet. I tell you what, after we get off air, you can look at
so that so way, you can befriend these wonderful people.
Oh no, if that way, if the class war does pop off, we can get somebody down there to like, hey guys, we're gonna make sure you're good. you did a solid for my boy Jason.
Protect you at all
we have to help you out. Okay, don't mind the weird degenerates in your front backyard. We're just making sure you're fine. Okay. Dr. Claw, I knew y'all were talking about Rosie without rewinding. Dr. Claw, I just want you to know, this summer I will be going to Cleveland. I've got some family stuff to take care of. So maybe you hit me up on the artist formerly known as Twitter and we could meet so I can finally figure out what the fuck you look like, because I picture you like as a man of learned letters with leather-bound books, and you smell like
Dr. Claw. In my mind, Dr. Claw is a cross between Jeffrey Osborne and Billy Ocean. Just one of them nights. One of them nights feel like getting down. Okay. Can you woo woo woo?
Can you woo woo woo? Yeah. You knew who else said they couldn't financially recover from something? Real Big Fish after the album deal ended and they bought the fucking mansion.
You know? I'm never gonna find. Do it again. Do it again.
Interscope just like, hey man, ska's over, and they're like. But I bought a home. Where'd you buy it at, man? California? Oh, yeah. You're not paying the taxes on that. You're fucked. You're fucked, guys. Okay? You just.
Dude, yeah, yeah.
Get out of here.
If you, yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, man. Okay. So with hit three, though, we see my pad.
Who do you think they pick?
The Pats? Oh, dude, I don't think you. I don't think you let Marvin Harrison.
It says the Pats wait on drafting a young quarterback. Maybe it's Michael Penix in round two and nab the consensus top wideout in the class, Marvin Harrison Jr. Yeah.
I just think at this point maybe you can't draft a young QB, right? But you know what you can do? Have a weapon there that can catch a ball from anybody, mm-hmm. right? I think that's just as important. So do the wide out. Like the running back room's pretty good. There's some talent there, right? There's a lot of work that needs to be done on the offensive line. The defense is strangely like pretty good. Well, I shouldn't say strangely, but like for a team as bad as New England was, the defense kept them in a lot of games that they should not have been in last season. So I don't think you have to like focus on
how much
the defense,
of that do you think was Parcells
going into. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and say it. I think that was more Mayo.
Okay. Okay.
And I think, and I understand that in his contract, he was supposed to be next man up. That's why he stuck around in New England. But the fact of the matter is the defense played a lot harder than the offense did. And I think they did that for Mayo. Those players love.
So do you think that the offense, and well, we don't know. We don't know what the team's going to look like.
We have no idea yet. I mean, I'm interested to see what like OTAs in the preseason.
Do they get rid of Mac Jones?
Oh, Jones is gone. Jones is fucking gone, man. There's no way he can come back. And like the thing is, I was on this little, I was on a small podcast that me and my friends started called Hometown Crowd, and we live streamed the first round of the year Jones and Fields mm-hmm. came out. And I, you know, Ohio State fan, Pats fan, I'm like, Justin Fields, baby, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, there's all this talk that the Pats are going to trade up, try and get Fields. And I'm like, yes, yes, let's do that. Let's do that. The trade never happens. Fields ends up in Chicago. And we only had like 15 people like in chat, you know, like there's yeah, yeah. 15. And it's mostly like our friends that are like trying to pay attention, but they're just there for support. So there's only like 5 people really talking in chat, and somebody pops up and it's like, it's going to be Mac Jones. And I'm like, fuck no, I don't want Mac Jones. And my boy Tim's like, well, why not, dude? National title winning quarterback, you know. He played in the best offense in the fucking country with the most talent. What happens? One, when he follows up Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. I don't give a fuck how mentally strong you are. I don't want to do that. I went to war a lot. I like to consider myself mentally strong. You know what I'd rather do than follow Tom Brady as the QB of the Patriots? Go back to fucking war. Okay? Like, that. The shoes are just too big to fill when you don't have a team like Bama was when Mac Jones was the quarterback. At this point in the Patriots' life cycle, the offense is like grinding to a fucking halt. And when people want to say, well, you know, it was Belichick butting heads with Brady, Brady also saw, I have nobody to throw to. I have nobody really blocking for me. And mm-hmm. I have nobody running the fucking ball very well. And Belichick won't spend a fucking dime on anybody worth a shit. You know? So, you know, that's just how it is. He was dealt a bad hand. Mac Jones really was.
So does Marvin Harrison help Mac Jones?
Oh, dude, Mac Jones isn't going to be on the roster. He will not. I don't know.
Quick question. Quick question. Is Zach Wilson and Mac Jones gone? Are they
yes,
gone?
Yes, absolutely. And the thing is, I think Wilson's value is a lot lower than Mac Jones. And here's the why. Okay. Mac Jones 2 years ago played with Matt Patricia and Joe Judge calling plays. Mm-hmm. Matt Patricia, throughout his career, has never coached offense. Joe Judge was a wide receivers coach for 2 years, like 5 or 6 years ago, mm-hmm. mostly a special teams guy. You can't knock Mac Jones for that. You cannot knock him for that. Not at all. Okay. Zach Wilson's always played with an offensive coordinator. And Zach Wilson's had a couple good games, but Zach Wilson shows you who he really is. This was a dude who played an independent schedule with BYU. All right. Like, you got to think, he was post Mountain West BYU. So their schedules weren't that hard. Like, BYU schedules were not that bad. BYU was happy to win 9 games, go to the Las Vegas Bowl. That's all they wanted to do, right? That was it. That is considered a successful season for the Brigham Young University Mountain Lions or whatever the fuck they are. Anyway.
Cougars.
Cougars, thank you. I know it was some kind of big four-legged.
It was a mountain bear.
Yeah, thing that could maul my face if I got in front of it, okay? So, you know, but like I don't look at Zach Wilson and think that's a guy I can build a franchise around. And then when you get through the rookie year where they're like, he wasn't really in the playbook, the New York lifestyle, which – how Mormon he really is, considering, you know, and then you get in the second year where it was Wilson Gate, where he was like fucking his friend's mom and like that whole rigmarole. Like, there's just a lot of baggage there, man. Like, what team is going to be like, you know what, New York, I'll give you a third. You know, they're going to look at New York and be like, I'll give you a sixth.
He might get a sixth. But, yeah. You know, is he the guy? Is he the guy that gets in the right system and flourishes? I don't know. I don't know if he had that much first round talent to begin with.
I'm going to tell you this right now. and this, somebody's already alluded to it. If I am the agent for both of those guys, mm-hmm. we've seen a man just get released that left $85 million of dead cap money on the books, the most ever. Jason, you know, it's your former QB, Russell Wilson.
That's right.
If I'm Zach Wilson and I'm Mac Jones, and I'm not even fucking kidding about this, and I know somebody in chat's going to be like, Mac, you're fucking stupid, I'm going to nip it in the bud and tell you why. How do you rebuild your value as a quarterback? Honestly, snaps. I got to get snaps. I got to have game time. If I'm Wilson and Mac Jones, do you know what I'm fucking desperately waiting to see? If I get released. And if I get released, which will be no harm, no foul on the team, on the Jets and the Pats, I take my ass and I call Dwayne The Rock Johnson and I say, can I get on one of the teams in the UFL? I play football because those two guys maybe look bad in the NFL. The UFL is retreading a lot of the USFL and XFL QBs right now. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of them on the rosters. Mm-hmm. Mac Jones and Zach Wilson would fucking light those guys up, right? Mm-hmm. Much better talent. Get a year of game film. You know, you get that season, that spring season of game film where you play well. You can literally rebuild your reputation and pull a Flacco.
That's a good point.
Where you come off the couch, you win five fucking games, you get into the playoffs.
Comeback player of the year.
Bingo. Right? That's exactly what I'd be looking to do if those two were released. Which I would not be surprised if that happens. Because you know what? It's not an $85 million dead cap hit. It's a couple mil. And I don't know if you saw, the Patriots have $101 million of cap room.
So do you think the Pats are going to just go crazy in free agency?
No, I don't think that happens. That's never been the Pats' way. I would like to see them maybe attack the offensive line free agent-wise. You know, you can draft like a couple guards, maybe go after a tackle because they need tackles so bad. And also on the defensive line, I'd like to see them, you know, honestly, Josh Allen, the Jaguars, Josh Allen, just got franchise tagged. I wish the Pats would have put a qualifying offer up because he's something else. And the Jacksonville defense isn't really that great, and he still balls out well. I would have loved to see him in a Patriots uniform, but, you know, it is what it is.
Well, okay, so you think the Pats are going to take Marvin Harrison Jr.? At three.
Absolutely.
Stay put at three, take Marvin Harrison Jr. And then, you know, free agency, there's going to be some quarterbacks in free agency, maybe Russell Wilson, maybe Justin Fields in a trade.
Dude, honestly, I'd take Baker. I would
You think Baker's getting Baker cut?
Now. Oh, no, Baker's free agent.
They're not going to re-sign Baker to at least a 1-year, 2-year deal, 3-year deal.
Well, no, the thing is, the season he had, he played himself into a $20, $25 million a year payday. And the thing is, teams are going to be scared off by that because, yes, you had this amazing year in Tampa.
Yeah.
But Tampa has a lot of offensive talent, right? So you have to look at Baker Mayfield. Am I getting the Baker Mayfield who was traded to the Panthers, flamed out, and was traded in season to the Rams? Or am I getting like that Baker Mayfield who took the Browns to the playoffs? Or last year, you know, last season's Baker who took Tampa to the playoffs. Like, which one are we going to get? There's a lot of Jekyll and Hyde there. But I think you bring in Marvin Harrison. You restock that offensive line. We have some good running backs. Mayfield 20 to 25. That's cheap for QBs now.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe sign him to a 3-year deal. See what you get. You know, I mean, it just... These general managers are much smarter than me and you because, like, that's why they – well, I shouldn't say much, but they're plugged in and kind of smarter than us, and that's why they have the jobs they have, right? But, like, that's what I would do. Like, take – like, hey, Baker, like, I'm not going to give you the 5-6-year deal. I'm willing to go 3, you know, and maybe make it, like, really incentive-laden. Like, we'll give you 20, But you reach incentives, we can get up to 26, 27, 28 a year for that 3 years. And the thing is, that would still be a perfect time, if he does well, to go back into free agency. And if he does well enough, maybe he gets that $35, $40, $45 million a year deal, you know?
So, moving on, the Cardinals are going to stay with a healthy Kyler Murray. He was injured for most of the year. And it has them picking the kind of all-world receiver out of Washington, Rome Odunze.
Yeah, Odunze Romeo would be
– yeah.
Yeah, that would be a big, good pick for Kyler. You want to give him some guys to throw to. He hasn't really had anybody to throw to since Hopkins left. Yep. You know, so that would be smart. I think what Arizona also has to do is, again, restock in the front. I'm probably going to say that a lot during our you know, this whole as we peruse through here. But, you know, teams know that if you're going to go spend big money on a QB, you have to have people that block for him. So as we talk about like having edge rushers and the QBs and the wideouts, teams are like, we can't just lean into that. We have to have guys up front. We can't have a weak link in that starting five. And I think the Browns have shown how if you draft smart, you can bring guys as undrafted free agents and lower in the draft and develop them, because no one's been hit with injuries the way the Browns have the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Especially on the offensive line. And guess what? They still keep fucking winning.
Yeah.
Right? 11 games with like their fifth string QB, and they were down to a center that they signed off the practice squad who helped them get in. You know what I mean? Like, so you can be smart. And I, you know, I know everybody's like, fucking Mac, you just Cleveland homer. Yeah, dude, in this instance, I most certainly am. Now, if you want to talk about the Cavs, yes, I certainly am. and then if you say the Guardians, I'm going to cry a little bit, because we're going to be shit this season. Oh my God. But that's neither here nor there. We're doing NFL talk. But yeah, man, like I think that, you know, the offensive line is the third most important. And that's the guards, the tackles, and the center, the third most important. And we saw a guy from Cleveland fucking retire yesterday that literally changed how centers play, and that was fucking Jason Kelce.
Yeah.
You know, you haven't seen centers pull the way he does or get to the next level the way he did on running plays. You didn't see guys like centers are the brains of the offensive line, and Kelce was able to make his read before he even fucking got in position to snap the ball. Like, he was that good at his job. And you got to think, he played in Cincinnati, you know, like, so you can find offensive linemen like that anywhere, you know? So like that's why you're seeing a lot of teams kind of take flyers at offensive linemen from smaller schools, because if they have the physical tools, they can be coached up.
Well, and here if they can't be coached up this year, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
We can stash them on the practice roster and get more time to coach them up, that type of thing.
Well, this mock draft has the Chargers picking Talisi Fuaga, offensive tackle from Oregon State. Do you see the Chargers Smart. Taking a tackle to protect their investment?
Herbert? Oh, fuck yeah. Because that's Jim Harbaugh's baby right there. Jim Harbaugh's only going to have a freaking successful tenure in L.A. with strong tackle play. And that's always been his thing, whether he was at University of San Diego, Stanford, freaking San Francisco, University of Michigan, always had outstanding tackle play. And Fuaga gives you some of the best tackle play in the country. And honestly, that probably helped Bo Nix become the quarterback that he's kind of being projected to be.
I mean, Bo Nix's jersey was quite clean. But, you know, we'll see. Pick six by the New York Football Giants.
Hold on. Can
they have the Giants taking JJ McCarthy.
Oh.
Can you say, man, we just love a certain kind of white quarterback?
Hold on.
Like, at a certain point, you just want to draft a guy that was a bad guy in 80s movies.
Mm-hmm. This is my thing. Here's, I don't know, for everybody's knowledge base, the Mara family that still owns the Giants, do you know that they're married to the Rooney family that owns the Steelers? Remember that? It's Mara true. Rooney. Kate and Rooney. Yeah. Yes, Kate and Rooney Mara. Both actresses come from that line.
Yeah.
All this leads me to believe is those two Mick families want to just really, really fuck with a guy named Brian Daboll. That's all that I think at this point. Okay? Because Daboll's like, bruh, I inherited Daniel Jones. I tried that first year. I did what I could with him. I won coach of the year. Year two comes, Jones is just... He's like that quarterback from Ed O'Neill was in it, Little Giants, you know, that got wrapped in bubble wrap, you know, and he barely played, and when he did, he looked horrible. And Jones only had one decent year in college, and keep in mind, the year that he looked decent, he only completed like 58% of his passes. Mm-hmm. Jason's already alluded to you. J.J. McCarthy didn't throw a touchdown pass for like three straight games. More of a game manager. We already talked about that too. You are literally going to saddle. Like, all this tells me is that the Mara family hired Brian Daboll out of Alabama and said, hey, man, we're going to build this team. You look like a great coach. And I think Brian Daboll is. Daboll is fucking, I think he's a phenomenal coach. If I'm Brian Daboll right now, and this actually happens, like if I'm in the draft room and my GM taps me on the shoulder and goes, hey, Brian, coach, we're going to take J.J. McCarthy. We're going to take him. We already called it in. We didn't feel like consulting you at all. Oh, look, they're calling it. There's Roger Goodell saying that we're taking J.J. McCarthy. So there's a camera in here. That's why I'm whispering. And it sounds like this because I know you're mic'd up, too. And fucking Daboll's just like, you know what, man? What I want to see is him just go, you know what? I quit. I fucking quit. I'm not doing this shit again. I don't want another shit, like, managing quarterback that, you know, is going to be exposed. And I think J.J. McCarthy will be exposed at the NFL because he's one of those guys without, like, an outstanding top five offensive line and a, you know, arguably one of the two of the best running backs in college football last year, and he had two of them. He's not going to be successful, you know. So this is just like, you know, this is like the Giants like pulling out a pistol, and not even like a small caliber, but like a musket. You know, like they pack the musket pistol and just shoot themselves right in the fucking foot because they're going into another, you know, period of time where this guy is going to flame out and they're going to be in the same boat they are now. And then they'll probably pick, you know, a quarterback. Fuck, who knows what college football is going to be in a few years, honestly. So I'm not even going to project that far. But I don't think that's smart. Excuse me.
Well, it might not happen, right? This is CBS's NFL mock draft. They have the Titans picking Joe Alt, offensive tackle out of Notre Dame.
Smart, smart, very smart.
So I guess we stopped talking about Malik Willis, huh? He's all done. He doesn't exist anymore.
They picked up that white fuck stick from Kentucky, and he's the coolest thing since sliced bread, Levin. But
Malik Willis was like, he's got all the talent in the world. They just need to coach him up. And all of a sudden, Will Levis comes in and throws a couple touchdown passes, and people are like, Negro who?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, dude, I'll tell you right now, maybe the Pats can't get their hands on fucking Fields. Call Tennessee.
As for Malik, you get Malik Willis for like a couple of baseball cards.
Yeah, like why not? Like at this point, I'm looking for a young quarterback I can develop, right? Like somebody that can grow with the team. And he's going to be cost effective too. Like he's on a rookie deal for a third rounder? Shit. Man, I'm making that call right now. You know, it's just we got to start looking outside of the normal ways that you get QBs, man, because good ones are hard to find.
Yes.
And why would you let a kid, and that's what Malik Willis is, he's a kid. Why would you let him just rot when he's been passed over? Tennessee's made it known we're going with Will Levis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just like, bro, you didn't even get Willis a shot. You know, yeah. It was a very, like, this is at the point where Vrabel, I don't want to say Vrabel looked checked out, but you could tell, like, offensively, he had no idea what to do. Like, that the Tennessee Titans offense just dipped off, and it became 1984 again. They're, or excuse me, became 75 again. And then, like, Vrabel's like, hey man, we're gonna treat Derrick Henry, you know, the king, like we did Earl Campbell. Hey Derrick, I promise you, no more than 26 touches today. He's like, please, man, I had 38 last game. 45 touches later, you know, Derrick Henry's on the podium because he has to be, just wanting to say what Marshawn Lynch said, like, I'm only here because I don't have to be fined. But, yeah. You know, but Derrick Henry's not that cat. So he's got like ice everywhere. He's got like on both eyes, his shoulders, you know, like, he's just like, who asked that question? I'm sore everywhere. Like, I got ice on my toes right now, you know.
He's been used as a battering ram for so long.
Yeah. And the thing is, can you imagine if they actually had a better offensive line at the beginning of his career? Because a man that big should move that fast. Remember, he's got 295-yard or longer touchdown runs on his resume. A man that size.
He reminded me of a bigger Eric Dickerson.
Dude, Jason, he reminded me of a bigger Eddie George. And Eddie George
was a good comparison.
Was a big man.
That was a big. He was like 6'4".
Yeah, 220.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good call. Derrick Henry is like a bigger. Yeah, I like that.
But he had Dickerson's speed until, like you said, they're like, third and eight, cool, halfback dive. And Henry's sitting back there like, because he's a team player, he's like, all right, coach, I got you. And he'd pick up 5-6 yards, you know, time to bring out the punt team. But he just got fucking pasted by the entire defensive line. You know, like,
yeah.
Derrick Henry is a prime example of overwork, you know? And the thing is, he's playing during the time where you have platoons for running backs, and Tennessee never really fucking did it.
Not really.
You know, like you said, you just fucking throw him out there as a battering ram, and it's like, Rabel's like, 4th and 5. Cool. Halfback dive. Let's go.
You know? And it's just, hard-nosed football is what we play here in Tennessee. The land of, you know, barbecue and jazz.
Yeah, you know.
Maybe the blues, depending on what part of Tennessee you're in.
Yeah, or maybe even a little bit of blues-infused country music, depending on...
maybe. Shout out to Memphis for having some of the best barbecue in the nation.
Number two best barbecue in the country.
I'm a big fan of Kansas City. I'm a big fan of Memphis, Tennessee. Memphis has some good ass food and some of the best venues. Memphis is a dope ass town. Now, Atlanta, yep, another dope ass town. Hot Atlanta. Dallas Turner, edge rusher from Alabama.
Which they need. I like Turner. He's a game changer. They got to do something. Atlanta's got to do something. That team with the draft picks they've had shouldn't be as bad as they are, especially in that division.
Division's up, you know,
the NFC South. The NFC South is the American League Central. It's full of bad teams, and somebody has to win it. And it should be Atlanta every year.
You
don't see
them taking a quarterback. You think they're going to get a quarterback from this market of quarterbacks that are just out there?
Dude, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Atlanta offered deals to Baker. You know, again, Baker. You know, Baker being one. Maybe they go after Kirk Cousins. You know, which I think would actually be good for the development of like Drake London and I'm spacing on the tight end. What's his name? They took him out of Florida.
Pitts. Kyle Pitts.
Yes. Kyle Pitts. Oh, thank you.
God. Otherworldly talent, Kyle Pitts, that has been playing with mediocre quarterback talent.
It's because Arthur Smith's like, all right, we definitely have a matchup problem. Their linebackers can't cover our tight ends. All right, we're going to throw it to the slot receiver. All right, we'll definitely do that. Definitely do that. Well, Coach, we got Drake London out there burning people. We can't wait that long to let that long pass develop. Our offensive line is kind of ass. But definitely throw it to the slot receiver. Do not throw it to Kyle Pitts. What? You know, like.
Dude, when you look at that team on paper, those are some of my two favorite mismatch problems, especially when you're close to the end zone. Kyle Pitts and Drake London is a ball hog, and he played basketball. He's not a tight end. He's a true wide receiver.
Yeah.
He can post you the fuck up.
Dude, yeah, and that's the thing. Like, you have that talent, skill positions. Why aren't you taking better advantage of it? But, you know, again, Arthur Smith just got hired to be an offensive coordinator. So what the fuck do I know?
Bijan Robinson, Drake London, Kyle Pitts. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, and Arthur Smith made sure all three of them never got the ball. Actually,
does Russell Wilson get behind center, or does Baker Mayfield get behind center?
I read a great article that talked about how the Seahawks coaching staff really masked a lot of Russell Wilson's deficiencies, and when he was traded, I mean, you got to think part of the reason he said he wanted to like kind of spread his wings and do his thing, and it's like I can see that now. It's like you want to prove yourself outside of kind of like that protective bubble. Mm-hmm. And it didn't work. If Sean Payton can't make you functional,
yeah,
it's you. All right. You are literally Taylor Swift at this point when she said, "Hey, hi, I'm the problem. It's me." Yes, Russell Wilson. Okay. That it's definitely you, you know? So I don't know if, I mean, Atlanta would honestly probably be a good landing spot for Russell. Do I think Atlanta makes a call? Absolutely. Do I think Russell's representatives are like, listen, I was supposed to make a boatload of money next year. I'm not coming to us than a 15 to 20 mil 1 year deal so I can go back, like rehab myself, go back into free agency and make the money I want. I wouldn't give Russell Wilson that much money over based on the last 2 years. No fucking way.
He's going to take a lot less money. And yeah, he might even have to sit behind someone. Let's move on in the draft. We have to at least get to the first 10 because we've been going for a couple hours. Malik Nabers out of LSU going to Chicago.
Pick some good ones.
You think Jason, that's
a, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck about the Jets. I think they're still going to be bad no matter who they pick. And it's not a knock against Saleh. I think Saleh is an amazing head coach and defensive guy. But I think hiring Nathaniel Hackett as the guy to run your offense was the wrong move. So I don't give a fuck who they draft for the offense. I think it's just going to be bad.
He's got him taking a tackle.
Yeah. Well, that's smart because you want Aaron Rodgers to last more than two plays.
Does Rodgers come back?
Oh, dude. Yeah. He already said he was.
Well,
Virtuoso said, Mac Jason, you think Russ wants to run in the future in the ATL?
Maybe that's that. I thought he would want to go to Atlanta because that's like, you know, his wife could be kind of in the black music, black entertainment mecca and get into movies. There's no way he's going to get to LA, either LA team.
No. No. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up in Vegas.
Ooh.
Mark Davis wants names.
It's just playing again. I hate when guys come back and play against you in division. That's always bad news.
Antonio Pierce. We've talked about that. I love Antonio Pierce. I love how his players play for him.
Yeah.
Vegas doesn't have a lot of talent there. I think Russ goes to Vegas. It wouldn't be pretty unless they literally make the smartest free agent moves in the smartest draft moves, because you've got Devontae and Josh Jacobs is not getting tagged this year, so he's going to be free agent. Yep. And Mark Davis already came out and said, I'm not paying for running back. I won't do it. I'll just draft another one. But that offensive line's not good. That defensive secondary is not that great. And outside of Adams, there's nobody to really throw the ball to. And then with Jacobs walking, granted, he didn't have a great season last year, but the year before he led the league in rushing touchdowns and rushing yards.
Yes.
You know, so like why would you bring Russell Wilson into that and expect something different? Because that's what he walked into in Denver with the offensive side of the ball. True. You know, so like, but again, Mark Davis is just like his dad. I like names. And, you know, who knows, man? I can see Atlanta. I can see Vegas. I mean, fuck. I wouldn't even be surprised if the Pats didn't make a phone call, if we're being honest. You know,
he's going to be inexpensive. Well, we're past the Jets picking Olimo Yuwawa for Shanu out of Penn State. Coming in at 11, this mock draft has the Vikings taking Drake May.
Yeah, and I think if they take May, like this mock says, Kirk is definitely gone. Like, he's definitely gone. The thing is, they're trying to lock up Jefferson again. They're trying to lock up Jefferson. He's coming off his rookie deal. But what happens if they can't make that contract work? Or Jefferson thinks he's not getting what he's due. Mm-hmm. Right? He plays one more year and he walks. And then you have a rookie UNC quarterback. And obviously, whoever made this mock has not watched us. So they don't know the rule. And they keep trotting out first round, you know, UNC QBs who just aren't worth a shit. I mean, they're not, you know.
Can I tell you what this draft, this thing says? The top 10 couldn't have played out better for the Vikings here. As May falls into their lap at number 11, he ticks all the boxes. He's white. He's white. All
the boxes.
And he's 6'4", and he's white.
Yeah. How many people love the crap? And like Jason said, he ticks the boxes. And out there's five boxes there. Four of them say white. And the last one is a buck.
It's like, and you know, I hate to say that because, you know, we have to be honest, black quarterbacks are a bit of a premium. You know, this mock draft has the first two picks being black quarterbacks. But there's something about when you get a 6'4 white dude.
Bro, Jason, we grew up. Yeah, during this like we saw it. Like, you know, we granted we were younger, but like we went and learned about these. But Warren Moon, you know, fucking record setting quarterback at UW, and they're like, hey man, you're gonna play safe.
And he was just Warren Moon with his like you know his super dignified blackness, but I've never played defense in my life.
Yeah, you know, I'll go to Canada.
Again and again,
whiter than
the black man is. Warren Moon turns into Warren X.
Jason, it's this. You see him put glasses on? Yes,
put the glasses on. The white man does not want you to play.
And the thing is, he goes to CFL. What does he do? Set the fucking league
just
on fire.
You know, wins championships left and right.
Yeah, and then, you know, he played in Edmonton. There is no whiter part of Canada than Edmonton.
That's Alberta, actually where Canada gets a little racist.
That place does.
Yeah.
Yes. And he's like, you know what? That's the only team that'll sign me. Fuck it. I'm going. And I don't know if you've seen their stadium, the Edmonton. They're now Elks. The prior name was the Eskimos. It looks like a jumped up high school stadium. It doesn't look like a stadium. So can you imagine Warren Moon in 19, was it 70, 79 or 80, taking his ass up to Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, in like the hillbilly part of fucking Canada, and like, god damn it. You know what? It's going to be worth it in the long run. They play on 150-yard field. I'm going to be huck it, chuck it football, and that's what he did. Oh. Like Jason said, he won Grey Cups, and then Houston's like, fuck, man.
That colored fella sure can play some ball up there.
Yeah, a few of them down here already. So, hey, Warren Moon, would you like to come someplace where you actually get summer?
And Warren's when Warren Moon turns back into Malcolm or Martin Luther King.
Yeah,
no. Me and my wife would definitely love to make a trip down to Houston, Texas, and play football for the glorious Oilers.
You know what I mean? Like, and the thing is Warren Moon had all this longevity. Like, he played until he was 42 years old. Like, he has, like, something like 70,000 total yards between the CFL and the NFL.
Yeah, some stupid number.
Right, a stupid number. And then NFL scouts were still like, black dudes can't play quarterback. You know, just sitting there like, what the fuck?
What must I do? Yeah, and then that's like, when all of a sudden the glasses come on and it's just Warren X comes
out. We got Warren X.
Again and again. I must get in the shotgun.
Like Dr. Claw said, Warren Moon put his glasses on and the kente cap.
The white man doesn't want you in the run and shoot. The white man doesn't want you to play without a tight end.
You know, but and then we kind of see this. We see Robert Griffin, who before injuries, unfortunately, you know, was doing these things. And then Lamar Jackson, you know, I mean, we had Dante Culpepper before that. Again, injuries got the better of him. You know, we have these examples, but like you're absolutely right, Jason. It's like scouts are like, man, you know, I don't, you know, see the color thing when we're going after quarterbacks anymore. But like you said, 6'4" white QB, what's he do? How you doing, baby? Man,
look at that guy. Look at the legs on that guy. Look at the trunks on him.
Yeah. Look at that footwork. Oh, it's bad? Yeah, he played at UNC. No, it's not. He's 6'4" and white. He's fine.
And he went to UNC. I bet we're in the same fraternity.
Yeah, yeah. Kappa racist Kappa. Mm.
Dude, like, yeah. I watched a couple of UNC games because I wanted to see what the hype was about. Because I'm such a I don't know if you're this bad, Mac, but if I see a UNC game, I'm just like, man, fuck this guy. it could be John Elway in a mask.
Yeah, I have to watch this all the time. You know, I am. Over, it was a joke at first, but when you look at the production of UNC quarterbacks just in the last 10 years, it's not good. They don't do well in the NFL, and it's not a knock against them. It's okay to be a great college player and not do anything in the pros. That's fine. Yeah. Matt Leinart was totally okay with that, and that guy has made a great career out of breaking down college film and being a guy like on Fox's College Game Day stuff. Like, I think that's great. Yeah. You don't like. Again, it goes back to not everybody can be a superstar, right? Not everybody is that person. And that's fine, you know? But, like, stop. UNC has never, ever, ever made a pro-ready quarterback. They don't play in those systems. They don't coach that way.
Yep.
Right? And, again, the ACC is the person with the micropenis at the porn shoot. That is just how it is. Right?
Yeah. I'd look,
if the
look, brother.
If the Pac-12 had the 5 inches, the Big 12 has 4. Okay. The SEC is dropping a straight foot long, and the Big 10 is there at fucking 10.5. Like, that's just how it is.
Mean when the first quarterback taken is from the Pac-10.
Well, first off, there's really no such thing anymore. Your beloved Pac-12 is down to 2 teams, and they only get 1 year to deal with that.
But still. You got to admit.
Hey, listen, a good friend of mine once told me, it's not about the length. It's the motion of the ocean. So if you got 4 inches and you rock it well, you can have success. That is what the Pac-12 has done.
Someone says, I'm turning the show off if he slanders 2-time Pro Bowling Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw Mitchell. Mitchell Trubisky just re-signed with the Buffalo Bills to be Josh Allen's backup.
Wow. Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah, he could not win the job in Pittsburgh, could not beat Mason Rudolph, and was like, you know what?
That says a lot about Mitchell Trubisky.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look, let's move on. We can't sit here and talk about failures forever. UNC. But the mock draft has Denver trading out of the 12 spot with the Jaguars for Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback out of Toledo. What do you think? Oh, did you leave? Oh, Mac just fucking took off on me. That is, look, that is quintessential Mac. Here, I'll read what the draft says. It says the Jags jump at the opportunity to stop Mitchell's mini slide. This is a big electric athlete who had over 40 pass breakups in college. This trade features the Jaguars sending pick number 17 and their second round pick, number 48 overall, to the Broncos for the chance to pick Mitchell as well as a third round pick, number 76 overall. I don't see the Broncos trading out of that spot because I think the run on quarterbacks is going to start there. I could be wrong. I could be wrong, but I think the run on quarterback starts. And I think the Broncos stay put. In my dream world, the Broncos stay put and they get Michael Penix. I really love that kid. I would love to see that kid in Denver. Don't think it's going to happen. I don't know if Sean Payton is as high on Penix as he is on someone like Bo Nix. But again, there's a lot of poker playing when it comes to draft talk in the NFL, and you can't really believe too much of what comes out of these coaches' mouths. But I saw a little bit of Penix spinning it at the combine, and he just throws a gorgeous freaking deep ball. And he is tough. He doesn't move that much, but he moves well. Kind of reminds me of Marino, of all people, with his movement. I always looked at Marino when it came to, when we hear the term mobile quarterback, I think we equate that with gentlemen that can run and not person with good feet within the pocket. And if you look at Dan Marino highlights, he's always moving around in the pocket. Great feet. Maybe some of the best feet in pro football, Dan Marino. And Penix, sometimes I see flashes of that when he plays.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, when we're talking about the Drake Mays of the world, they always look at footwork, angle of release,
yeah.
How tall does he stand in the pocket, which I never quite understood, because Drew Brees isn't what you would call a tall man, okay? but footwork is important, you know, I get it. But like you said, when you're talking about a mobile quarterback, Drew Brees is mobile.
Yeah, great feet.
He moved around.
Great
in the pocket.
Fucking feet.
And for a guy his, which is 6 foot, you know, he had to, so he can see around offensive linemen. The guy finished his career 68% completion, a stupid amount of yardage, right? Stupid amount of touchdowns.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, a second rounder who supposedly shouldn't have had any shot after that shoulder injury he had in San Diego, you know, ends up, again, we're talking top three all time, right? Yeah. That's footwork. That is being mobile in the pocket. You don't have to bust a fucking run all the time. It's just being able to get out of trouble or find a seam to where you can see where you can release the ball to your wideouts. But honestly, Jason, it's like we've talked about quite a few times. It's dickheads like Jim Rome on fucking talk radio.
Yes.
Who make a big deal about it being mobile quarterback. You know, it's honestly Skip Bayless, who doesn't know fuck all about football anymore. And everybody, I want you to know, he was a phenomenal sports writer. Keep in mind, he's the guy who broke the fucking White House story. SMU story.
Oh, did he break SMU? I know he brought the White House story about the the Cowboys, yeah.
Yeah, did that too. But he broke the SMU story. He was one of the lead writers. Touch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't watch film. He doesn't do any of that shit anymore. What he wants to do is have somebody he can sit there and argue and fucking whinge about, you know, on daily television every morning. And then make really bad TikToks about him throwing all his cowboy shit into the trash. You know, like.
Have you seen that video that what team was it that made the video about Stephen A. Smith being a shitty athlete?
Dude, which one? Hey, we have the ivory of this. Stephen A. Smith is the ebony. They're both guys that were phenomenal sports writers and don't know fuck all about sports anymore. They are just literally talking heads. Stephen A. Smith was
so well respected at one point in time as a sports writer.
Bro, he covered the New York basketball scene. Fucking phenomenal. Dude, they were finding guys out of Rucker Park to go play college ball when they had no business doing so off of shit he wrote. Mm-hmm. They got chances to go do something in life after being seen on a fucking basketball court in the city, you know, to go to school and do something. And there are people that will praise him all day long for that opportunity. But after the early 2000s, Bayless and fucking Stephen A. Smith weren't shit. Right?
I will say this.
Nonsense.
I will say this, and this isn't in the defense of those people. It's just I want to throw some people.
Jason, help defend them. How could you? Oh my God!
I can't defend them. I just want to throw this out as a real life example of something. Something happened for me where I had an opportunity to do something pretty big. It didn't happen because the place wanted to go a different route with it, and the route they wanted to go was a liberal and a conservative fighting.
Oh, gross.
Like, my first response was, why?
Yeah.
Like, who cares? Like, why would anyone want to see that? But, you know, the call had come down from the big boss, and it didn't matter anything else. The big boss wanted the liberal and the conservative, and that's kind of what people – give me a second and stop me if I'm sounding. There's so much projection in the way we view any sort of information from sports to news, right? Mm-hmm. And we live in this world, this era. I call it the era of the influencer. I was talking to Bajlan today, and he goes, we're in the era of the ego. It's all the same thing, right? Call it what you like.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think you could, one equals the other, you know, influence.
Right, right. It's like this, it's like the same thing, right? And when you listen to sports talk, sports news, it's just tons of conjecture and made up hooey. And then people can chime in and just go off, right?
Yeah.
And the same thing can be said for the way we even shows like this. It doesn't matter what I say because the chat has a life of its own.
And it does. And to me, it does have a life of its own. And chat, you're always wrong.
Well, it can have a conversation of its own, and there can be celebrities within the conversation. And it doesn't matter what I'm talking about because they've got their own thing going based off what they think I'm saying or you're saying. And those people that do the good guy, bad guy thing, the two people yelling thing, it really feeds into the loop.
Well, yeah, like the viewer sells, right? Conflict,
and there's something about the conflict that they're having. Yep. It's always made up conflict, right? Mm-hmm. They're always upset about it. It's like, why are you upset about that? There's no reason for your voice to be at that octave when you're talking about someone missing a shot or some shit like that.
Yeah, and the thing is, you notice a lot of it, especially with Stephen A. and Skip towards the end of their partnership on ESPN, they would scream at each other, but they're agreeing on what the conflict point was, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, this isn't even interesting anymore. Like, you're barking the same shit at each other. You're agreeing. Like, you don't even get the conflict. But like you said, it drove, you know, they would put, you know, people's comments on like the ticker, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. When these shows started going a few years back, maybe like what, 7, 8 years ago, maybe even 10 years now, when they would be like on Twitter or on Facebook, so and so says da 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 da, and there's and not to say you ignore those things. It's just it's an interesting moment that we're in where, facts don't matter anymore. Truth doesn't matter anymore. It's just only about.
That's hand in hand with how things are in the U.S. Why? I mean, that's why Ben Shapiro has a job.
Oh, Ben Shapiro is like the master of the gish gab, right? Yeah, right? He's like, yeah. That's all and he does.
Yeah, and people like Dave Rubin, honestly, Rachel Maddow, you know, on the other side, if we're being honest,
yeah,
spouts a lot of nonsense, and I think that's just America now. Like you said, the facts don't, it doesn't matter.
They really don't matter. It's all about the narrative that I can spin. And does that narrative, is it able to create a life of its own?
Yes.
And I find that very interesting, especially when we talk about like athletes. For the longest time, when Russell first came to Denver, he was a nerd. And that meant something to people that they were like, well, he's a nerd or he's square and people don't like him. And I'm like, where do you get that from? And they go, well, he had a birthday party and only half the team showed up. It's like, well, only half my friends showed up to my birthday party. Do I suck?
Yeah.
Don't answer that.
And it's like, yeah. And it's like, yeah, he's a nerd because he hangs out with his wife and his kids.
Yeah. Oh. It's like this guy got the worst. It really spoke to a certain kind of implied racism where
and on top of that it's like an almost misogyny. He wasn't man enough.
It's
like, a man. Yeah, it's like, what are you, a man doesn't put out Instagram photos with him and his family on vacation. Yes, a man fucking does that. A real man, does that.
Right? It's like I look at Russell Wilson, and again, I was not happy with his short tenure with the Denver Broncos, right? But I look at a guy like Russell Wilson and I go, he seems a little awkward, right? And when you hear Marshawn Lynch tell stories about Russell Wilson, I you have to also take it with a grain of salt. That's Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
He may seem cool to you guys now. Go hang out with him.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be a wild night.
Yeah, I mean, dude, honestly, if we're comparing the two here, Marshawn Lynch is a dude like I want to meet at a fucking dive bar in Oakland.
Yeah,
and I just spend the night with him.
Yeah,
right. We just go and get fucked up. We have a good
punch
time.
Some women. You're gonna.
Well, I don't want to do that. I'm not interested in that.
I don't want to punch any women.
I don't want to punch anybody, actually, because if I get punched back, man or woman, I'm at the age where it hurts for days afterwards, and I'm not in the mood for that. But no, I am not interested in punching women. But like, that's a dude you go party with, right? Now, if I need actual life advice or maybe like investment tips, I'll call him Russ.
I know a guy. Yeah.
Hey, Russ, I just got a newborn. Bad baby rash. Rush is like, bet, I got you, man. All right, so if you go into Costco and you know, there's this, you're not going to see it. It's not on the front of the shelf. You got to go up high, and there's this giant tube of this. Because he's got what? He and CR got like 58 kids at this point.
He's and, having multiple children with this woman. Please don't leave. I won't say I wouldn't do the same thing, right?
Well, I mean, honestly, I think after Future, CR was like, I can't take
all that meat.
Because I neck quit.
Future's the SEC in our porn shoot.
Like, but that
Russ is the Big 12, but he's safe. He's safe.
When you look at a guy like Russell Wilson, he does look a little awkward. Like we talk about Eli Manning, Russell Wilson has a similar look in his eye. I've never seen. We talk about Warren Moon. We made the joke about he's part MLK, he's part Malcolm X. But there was a certain level of dignity that you get with Warren Moon. I feel like people probably treated Warren Moon the same way you think people treat Russell Wilson.
Oh yeah. And I think a lot of it probably came from his teammates when he got to Houston. Cause you got to think he goes to Canada who was very successful in college that made the decision to play in the CFL. A game at the time, not a lot of Americans went to play because like people think there's a big variation rules. There's not. You know, it's a very similar game. It's just Americans didn't go up to do that at the time. Moon knew if I want to play quarterback in this league because scouts, GMs are racist as fuck. Mm-hmm. I need to show that I can put numbers up. And it was perfect because it's a passing league. It always has been. The field is fucking 140 yards. Okay? 140. You have 15 yards and three downs to get a first down. What do you think they do most of the time? They're throwing the ball.
Yes.
Right? Like the CFL record for rushing yards in a season, I think, is only like 1,500. You know, and this league is over 120 years old, 125 years old.
Yeah.
You know, so like it goes to show you that it is a passing league. And Warren Moon, I think, did it right. And honestly, I think a lot of quarterbacks would be a benefit to go to Canada because they really loosened up the rules to allow American players to go play. And most of the players that go to Canada and come back, believe it or not, are rushing like edge rushers. Right. But, you know, quarterbacks, I think it's a little different. You don't get a lot of guys that start the entire season. They do a lot of split reps, unless you're guys like Anthony Calvillo, who spent like 21 years in the league and won like a ton of Grey Cups. Yeah. He was one when he retired. He was one of the few players that actually played in one of the American CFL teams. He played for the Las Vegas Posse. You know, Flutie was a guy who started all the time. There's a lot of split stuff. But the thing is, when you find a guy that works, Canadian teams will stick with you until you don't want to be there anymore. Mm-hmm. Right. Because they're like, you've looked really good. And yeah, you're 106 years old. But you get like Calvillo had a big drop off between his next to last and his last year. He threw for like 4,800 yards. And his last year, he still threw for like 4,000.
Jesus.
Right. And he was like, I can't hack it anymore. And like all the sports writers are like, are you fucking kidding me? There were like six quarterbacks only threw for like 800 yards this year here. He threw for 4,000. What are you talking about? But he called it quits, you know? But I think it would be good. That's why like I've been such a big proponent of spring ball. And, you know, CFL's played in the spring going into the fall because, mm-hmm. you know, it's Canada and you have to do that. Otherwise, you're going to be playing hockey freeze. Essentially. Yeah. You know? And I think that's why it's important that we have the UFL. And I hope the UFL, if they can get grounded and get a good base, that they expand to give more quarterbacks opportunities to get game film. Because that's a hell of a lot more important than practice. I'm sorry. It really is. How do you do under the rush? You're not getting rushed in practice. Stop it. You have a red jersey on. I touch you on the shoulder pad. That's a sack. You know, like, how do you deal with all that? Like, you need game film for it. And I think it would really help a lot of these players at smaller schools get some extra game film that maybe are getting glossed over. And like for the offensive line, we're seeing the NFL really mine smaller schools. But let's look at the other position players, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same way. You might have a guy every so often come out. Like there's a cornerback out of Toledo that's probably going to go top 10.
I just talked about him. Quinion Mitchell. Yeah.
Yeah. Just phenomenal in Toledo. But he wanted to stay, you know, close to Ohio. And let's face it, Ohio has a bajillion D1 schools. So, you know, if you don't really, if you're not creme, you know, the creme de la creme in Ohio State, you do have a lot of options. And what's funny is that kid stayed at Toledo because Toledo has been a MAC powerhouse last 3 or 4 years. You can win, you know, conference championships and go to bowls and win. That's extra playing time. I don't blame him. Why would I transfer out to a bigger school and possibly have to sit for a few years and not get any playing time? I get it. I think that's smart. And also, I think what had something had to do with it, he kind of popped up on the national stage last season. And you've already hit it, the nail on the head, quite a few times. NIL will keep you home if the money's there. You know?
Yes, it will. Yes, it will.
I think that's what happened to him. And I think he really got to show off, especially when you're having action Tuesday nights, getting to play in a game that's going to ESPN because it's Tuesday fucking night. Never mind.
I actually like that. I really appreciated that.
Dude, I love that shit. When the Mountain West is playing like Wednesday nights at fucking 8 o'clock here on the East Coast, so it's like 5 p.m. in Colorado or Utah. I'm like, yes, yes.
Let's do this. I'm sad I no longer have a television, but there is some very good people. I'll shut my mouth up. That make sure we can see these games. Let's keep going as we're 2 hours and 20 minutes into the show. Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU going to the Raiders.
That would be smart for whoever's going to be play quarterback there. You need to start. I mean, honestly, I think Davante Adams wants some help. I think that's a good pick.
Now, this next pick has the Saints drafting a tight end.
Brock Bowers. Perfect. Bowers is a threat. Receiving, he's a better blocker than people give him credit for. And granted, Kamara's kind of on a downside. He's not playing up to what we expect of Alvin Kamara, but I think a lot of it has to do with him being the only game in town and Michael Thomas being like a shell of his former self.
Oh my God. That poor guy has some crazy injuries.
Yeah, just to his foot and ankles, man. And when that happens to a receiver, tough to bounce back from.
Yeah, yeah. But he had some very exciting years.
Dude, yeah. Ohio State, baby. Go Bucks.
Terry and Arnold, cornerback, going to the Colts. Do you think the Colts feel solidified in their quarterback position, even though that their man got injured like the game three, I think, of the season?
Yeah, I think they're gonna load up and back up Richardson as much as they can. You have Minshew there that, you know, could be kind of a long-term backup.
Yeah.
But like, what happens after the season if the same thing happens to Richardson? That's where the Colts find themselves in trouble.
Brian Murphy, defensive lineman out of Texas, big D tackle, going to Seattle. Do you see that happening?
Yeah, I mean, Seattle needs to rebuild on the defensive front. Like, if you know, like, let's face it, Geno Smith is not long-term. He's not long-term, right? Mm-hmm. You have a lot of talent at the wideout position. They have some very good running backs in Seattle. Rearm your defense. Restock that offensive line, kind of play like the ball you played when Russell had his most success there. Mm-hmm. See if you can get some wins, man. And then what you can do is have Geno Smith kind of be like a longer term bridge for a quarterback you draft and develop.
It has at 17 where this mock trade is, the Broncos taking Bo Nix.
Bo Nix. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Do you think he's the Drew Brees 2.0 because he's a bit taller?
I still like Penix more than Nix, man.
I like Penix more than Nix.
I think what they're going to use against Penix is the fact that he... I honestly think they're going to hold the extra year of college he has over Ned.
More years than Nix in college? I thought they were about the same.
No. Penix has 6 years.
Nix just has 5?
Yeah.
I feel like Nix has been playing since like Emmitt Smith was at Florida.
No. No, that's the Shipley brothers from Texas. Okay?
I feel like Bo Nix has been playing forever.
I think the youngest Shipley brother might still be a walk-on at Texas. He's actually taking his first year of his PhD course at UT right now.
Like Bo Nix, didn't he back up Cam Newton? Fuck. Bo Nix has been there forever.
Well, you got to think Penix had two injury waiver years for those knee injuries he had, which that might factor into it too. Because like if you guys watch any UW games, Penix wears the largest available hinged knee brace there is for an athlete. And it's more noticeable than it is on offensive linemen. And that's saying something. Okay. Like it's that guy's knees probably look worse than mine. And keep in mind, I was in the infantry 16 years and exited an aircraft 132 times. So my knees are held together with like duct tape and chewed bubble gum. I can only imagine what Michael Penix's left knee looks like.
That's the downside to Michael Penix. Do you get Byron Leftwich?
I mean, the thing is, Penix is faster and more athletic than Leftwich ever was, which led to his injury because he did not move around in the pocket well. And when you have people getting him low and you can't move or shift or whatever, and that was Leftwich's biggest thing. It even showed that in college.
Yes.
You know, he couldn't really shift away from the rush.
When they're carrying him to win that game against his later backup, mm-hmm. David Gerrard, Eastern Carolina.
That's right.
J.C. Latham. offensive tackle out of Alabama going to Cincinnati. You got to keep Burrow upright.
Yeah, and I think that's a smart play. You know, you can never have too many offensive linemen anyway. Draft, develop. If they don't crack the starting lineup, you're one. Guess what? You let a high-priced free agent walk, you can you got him plugged in for year two.
Troy Fautanu, inside offensive lineman from UW Washington, going to the LA Rams.
Where are they where's this projecting him to play at, guard or center?
Doesn't say.
Yeah, see, and that's the thing. When you see interior offensive linemen, they typically played center in college. But because of their arm length, which is always something that gets centers, they either will shift you from guard if your arms are too short. They'll shift you from guard to center. If your arms are too long as a center, they'll shift you from center to guard. I have no idea what the correlation is there. It's just something the NFL does.
Well, the Steelers, it has the Steelers taking a cornerback, Nate Wiggins.
Well, he'll be good to pair with Joey Porter Jr. That'll give
that's
them a pair. That's
literally what they said. They said that's the, you know, Wiggins is 6'2", a 6'2 corner from Clemson.
Yeah, and see, the thing is, he didn't run as well as everybody said he would. But Wiggins' game tape is phenomenal. So, like, I'm just like, bro.
I don't care about your 40 time. Jerry Rice ran like a 4.6 or 4.8.
You can't hold the fucking – you can't hold that.
We have Jackson Powers Johnson, JPJ, who did not work out in – do the full workout, sorry, in Indianapolis, but has him going to the Dolphins, keeping Tua upright.
Yeah, and the thing is you have to – like, Tua, I think, is one more, like – head injury away from being Evander Holyfield right now, which is like a blabbering mess. You know, like it's just, you got to think a couple before last, that season before last, you know, we had all those head injuries. You know, they said he upwards of like 4 concussions, and then he had one and they put him back out on the field. Like, it was just a mess.
Oh, when his fingers went all weird. That was the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. You know, and that's the thing, like, he's a young kid. And, you know, he takes another shot to the head. That could be his career. You know,
I hope not. It's been nice to see this resurgence of Miami. Cooper DeJean, cornerback from Iowa.
Yeah. And the thing is, I was watching something on YouTube that called him the token white dude in the defensive backfield.
Cornerback. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he played very well. Dude, I got to watch him, like, lock up Ohio State, you know, in that bowl game. He's phenomenal. And the thing is I think you're going to see a run of Iowa defensive players because they've done nothing but live off their defense for the last 10 years, and they serious. Do so well.
Serious.
Yeah.
Serious. Iowa's got some no-joke Big Ten-ass motherfuckers. Speaking of Big Ten, Chop Robinson going to the Houston Texans, an edge rusher from Penn State.
Can you imagine him coupled with Will Anderson and he pans out? That's going to be fucking nuts. That'll be absolutely fucking nuts.
He's got that tweener size.
Texans are just...
Do you like the tweener size guys where they're like 250?
I do. Because the thing is, a lot of these guys, what they'll do is they'll bulk up to like 265 and they'll do it smart. And the Texans have a great strength and conditioning program right now. Mm-hmm. They didn't under Bill O'Brien. It was actually really bad under Bill O'Brien, which really led into a lot of the injuries they had. Mm-hmm. But when you look at last year, when they're playing, you know, they're playing all these young kids, you didn't like as big a factor for the Texans. And they really, I mean, dude, they locked up the AFC South. Like, who the fuck does that?
Yeah,
you know, and they're drafting a lot smarter. You know, they're really the Texans are a team on the up. So and at this point, you just have to draft to complement the pieces you have, which are just going to elevate your team.
And can we all admit none of us knew CJ Stroud was going to be that good?
I did.
You're full of shit.
No, CJ Stroud was amazing at Ohio State. I'm probably one of the few Ohio State fans that absolutely has always been enamored with him. Even after the Michigan losses, if I ever hear the phrase, he doesn't have that dog in him. What the fuck is that dog, bro? What is it? Explain it to me.
It's a pit bull biting the ass.
Yeah. Okay. You know, like, it's just like he played his dick off for Ohio State. And they're like, well, he didn't run. He didn't run because that's not his game.
It's not his game. And he showed you in the NFL what his game is.
Bro, he showed us in that game against Georgia, that college football playoff game. He took off and ran when he had to, but his arm kept us in that game the entire time. Even after Marvin Harrison goes down, you know, even when Georgia gets those stops, he kept us in that game.
Also, let's think about the wide receiver talent that he is playing with in Houston. It's not all that.
Well, I'm not going to say it again because I'm not having anybody in chat chastise me. They were some of the young kids that were drafted with the picks they got from Cleveland. And they, maybe you call it overachieved because they weren't the biggest names, but I think that they have a good enough rapport that you're going to see a hell of an offensive game, you know, plan going forward with these young players as Texas or as Houston drafts and develops these guys and brings in free agents. Like Houston's going to become a free agent destination for players trying to like come into a good system. Everybody loves D'Amico Ryans. Everybody.
Yeah.
There isn't a player on the fucking planet that has anything negative to say about D'Amico Ryans. And the thing is, he is a player's guy, but he runs a tight ship. And the guys don't want to let him down. And that goes a long way.
I'm excited to see the Houston Texans in year two. Let's just put it that way. Mm-hmm. Now, this could be a massive pickup if it happens. Adonai Mitchell. I can forget how they say his name. From Texas, the wide receiver from Texas, going to the Bills at 25.
Yeah, and the thing is, they might have to because Stephon Diggs had a huge drop-off at the end of last season. Mm-hmm. And when you're trying to keep a guy like Josh Allen kind of upright and in business and maybe not running, like leading his team in rushing, and I think he was second in rushing for the Bills this year, which in this day and age is not good. Okay, that's not what you really want. No. I think that's a good pick. Maybe even if you're getting towards the end of the Stephon Diggs as like the 1,000-yard, 10-touchdown guy, you can have him flip-flop positions. And maybe Stephon Diggs becomes the complimentary guy where Mitchell becomes like your primary.
We'll see how Diggs handles that. You know, I'm sure that he's, what is he, 29, 28?
I think he's getting ready to turn 30.
Grandpa, you know, we'll see how a 30-year-old man who's still in amazing shape handles that. But yeah, I agree with what you said. He did fall off last year.
Yeah. And I think it's sad that we have to say shit like that a 30-year-old. Mm-hmm. Might be on the back end of his career. Like that's fucking nuts. I mean, but it goes back to like we were talking about Peyton Manning. You can only stave off father time for so long. And when your game's predicated on speed the way Diggs has been, you lose just a little bit. Like you have to completely change the way you play or like you don't play anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that's the sad part.
And does the team take that into consideration? Or do they just move on, right? So Tampa Bay, it has Tampa Bay taking an edge rusher with their first pick, Jared Verse out of Florida State.
Big kid. He plays big. I think his game will translate well. And Tampa needs to kind of reload because they're one of those teams that's up against the cap.
They let go of Shaq
I know. And I like that they brought back Mike Evans. I think that's – they needed to. Mm-hmm. Again, where the fuck were you, New England? God damn it. But yeah, like if you're going to like rebuild and maybe, and especially when you don't know who your QB is going to be, rebuild the defense, get that stocked. So like whoever you bring in, there's not a lot of expectations for them to score 30 points a game. So you can be in it, you know? So,
well, the Cardinals come back into the first round.
Yeah, and this is the dude I was talking about, Latu.
Latu, edge rusher, UCLA. I watched some of him at UCLA, and I don't think UCLA's front four was that good. So, you know, that has to take that in consideration when you watch the kid play, but he could get to the damn quarterback.
Yeah, and the thing is, again, they knocked him for, like, his measurements, but his motor on the field is something else.
They got him at 6'5", 265. How big do they want him to be? 6'9"?
I think it had to do more with his pad work. You know, they were saying he wasn't getting off, like, the pad blocks well enough. And on top of that, like, he didn't run a very good 40. But for me, your 40 speed as a defensive end shouldn't really matter.
Yeah.
It should be how off blocks and honestly, sled work. Like, can if you can't get off the block, can you move your blocker into the backfield to disrupt the running play or disrupt the QB? Can you do that at least?
Yeah.
You know? And the thing is, Latu showed a bit at UCLA able to do that. Smart pick.
Against some big boys that are first round talent. No, against big boys that are first round talent. Next, we have the Packers at 28. Tyler Newbin, a safety out of Minnesota.
This is
a mock trade. They're calling a mock trade here because this is actually where the Bills are. So they're saying there's going to be a mock trade from the Packers to get back into the first to get Tyler Newbin a safety.
Well, the Green Bay Packers need help at safety. And then on top of that, the Bills are one of the eight teams that are over the cap. So if you can limit your cap hit by getting out of the first round and limiting like the guaranteed money that you have to pay out to these rookies, I get it. It makes sense because you're probably going to get – you're going to trade back into probably the second and third round maybe. So you're getting more picks to plug holes to bring in cheaper players where you – like the Bills just cut Jordan Poyer today, the starting safety.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, to clear $8 million off the books. So like at this point, if you know that, okay, I can trade my first round pick, get an extra second rounder. So I got two second rounders. I can use one of those on a safety in like we've mentioned a few times, a very deep draft. This is an outstanding draft this year. Like this is the perfect year for the salary cap to go up $30 million. It really is because you can plug a lot of holes in the draft with a lot of talented players and then still go after free agents.
Yeah. The free agents are going to be, there's gonna be a lot of big names, big college names in the undrafted free agent market.
Oh yeah.
The Detroit Lions in the first round, this mock draft has them taking Darius Robinson, an edge rusher out of Missouri. He seems to be a bit of a tweener at 296.
That's perfect with having Hutchinson on the other end. That's really outstanding. You're going to have a double-headed kind of like monster at the ends. I mean, granted, the Lions kind of Achilles heel in defense is the corners. Like the corners and the linebackers aren't that great. So that just leads me to believe they're going to draft another defensive end so they can kind of have Hutchinson and this kid like come off the edges. They got two good defensive, like a couple good defensive tackles anyway, and they can spend money on free agency to bring in like a linebacker and a corner, you know, to kind of plug the holes they have on defense, which is smart. Like Detroit doesn't need a lot of work. You know, they've drafted really and developed players very well.
Yeah.
So like it makes sense. Like don't break the bank. Just be smart and stick to what you're doing, which is obviously fucking working.
Pick number 30, as we're coming to the end of the first round, Amarius Mims, the offensive tackle that had the crazy 40 time at the combine.
Yeah. Falling to the Niners of all.
Hasn't gone to the
Ravens. Oh, the Ravens. I'm sorry. Yeah, the Ravens. I mean, that's a team that always drafts very well, and they're going to do what they can to keep Lamar upright. You know, and I think that's important because Lamar is an otherworldly talent when he's healthy. And last year he got through a whole season. He was still banged up, but you got to think the years before that, going into the end of the season, he wasn't available. Yeah. You know, so I mean that's important. I mean, honestly, I think at this point, Lamar is a top five quarterback in the NFL. Just keep putting weapons around him so he can show you what he has, because it's gonna get to a point where Baltimore fans are pretty patient, even though they got spoiled as fuck with those Super Bowl wins. But how many years can you see AFC in the AFC and not make it to the championship game? Like, how many years can you do that before you as an organization go, okay, what are we doing wrong? Or what are we doing right? And like, can we just go into like a mini reset, or do we tear this shit down and rebuild? Yeah. You know?
But I think they have the centerpiece for at least the next 5 years.
Easily.
Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Easy next 5 years. After that, it depends on his health.
Yes.
And how much he wants to run and take that pounding. Pick number 31, Jordan Morgan, offensive tackle out of Arizona, going to San Francisco.
You know what? This is this is like another example, like we talked about, San Francisco has a lot of luck in players that just fall in their laps. Like, you got to think, this kid was one of the primary reasons Fifita, the QB for Arizona, had the year he had. You know,
and that kid had a I really like him.
Yeah.
And the wide receiver cat.
Yeah. And the thing is, I appreciate Fifita, because even after he loses his head coach, he was like, nah, man, I'm good. Like, I'm gonna just stick around, you know, which I think is important for Arizona as they move into the Big 12. Because, I mean, we all saw the Pac-12 was amazing this last season. Like, of all the years, why couldn't you have done this 10 years ago? You would have had a fucking $28 bajillion TV deal right now. Yeah. But like, they went out, the Pac-12 went out on a high note. Now, the thing is how much of that was Jed Frisch and his ability to coach and recruit? And how much of it was the guys that were there, you know, in addition to what he kind of developed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I hope Arizona just fucking balls out in the Big 12. I think that'd be hilarious. That, like, you see, like, Arizona, fucking Texas.
Dude, don't like sleep on Fifita. That would actually be a fun game to watch, because those places aren't that far from each other. That, those kind of Wild West showdowns, you know, that's what that whole.
Bro, can you imagine the Big 12 brings in four Pac-12 teams and not one of the oh, never mind. It wouldn't be Texas. Texas goes to the SEC this year. But can you imagine, like, it's just like two of the Pac-12 newcomers in the Big 12 title game, and like all the old school Big 12 teams are like, this is bullshit.
This is why this realignment was bullshit. USC, ULA all the time. Fuck you, Deshaun Foster.
Yeah. Hey, Coach Prime, kiss my ass.
You know, next year, I'm really excited to see where Prime's son goes, the quarterback. Dude, that kid can play.
I know. I just hope he goes into the right spot. Otherwise, it's going to be like playing for his dad this past season. You know, a team with no offensive line, where he's running for his life, just trying to make plays. And in college, you can get away with that. In the pros, you cannot, you know.
Not forever.
Yeah. You know, it will catch up with you.
Ask Randall Cunningham.
Yeah, dude, ask fucking even oh my gosh, Robert Griffin.
Oof.
You know, towards the end of that rookie season, you know, before he blew out his knee, you know, he was trying too hard. You know, he was sticking way too long in the pocket. He'd scramble and just keep trying to stay behind the line of scrimmage so he can make that deep pass. Like, you can't – sometimes you can't do that, man. Sometimes just run, slide, pick up 3 yards. It's okay to do that, you know? Like, they all can't be pretty and awesome.
That's hard to tell a young person. And you don't want to coach everything out of them, right? You don't want to coach that dog out of them, as they say.
That dog.
first round, end of the first round. This mock draft has your boy Xavier Worthy going to the Kansas City Chiefs.
That is because of that
40 time.
That is probably the best place for him, though. Can you imagine a guy with little to no expectation? Like, he's the last pick taken in the first round. No expectation of you being like, you have to do what Jamar Chase did his rookie year, right? Just go out there, run the deep ball. And that's all Andy Reid will ask him to do. Just get behind your man.
And some jet sweeps.
Yeah. And just watch Patrick Mahomes just sit there and do this. And you know, all of you in chat know what I'm talking about. It's Patrick Mahomes. Scans the field like 28 times in 4 seconds. And he's like, and just puts it there.
That would be the most not fair shit. If that kid can get off blocks in the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, dude,
you know, that's the thing.
If Xavier can just be like 80% of Tyreek Hill, that's a steal. Ooh. And the thing is, he's straight line speed. He's faster.
Yeah.
I know if he has a shift Tyreek Hill, I doubt it. Players I've ever seen on a football field.
Yeah.
You know what Xavier Thomas has that Tyreek Hill does not? A frame taller than 6 foot. Which means
he's like, yeah, says he's got him at 6'1", but he's only 173, so he's tiny.
Which is the knock against him. That was the biggest knock against him. But again, can you imagine him with an NFL strength and conditioning program? I know he went to Texas, and I know like that's important, but you know where strength and conditioning coaches typically focus the most on in college? Linemen, offensive and defensive linemen. That's their focus. We got to keep these guys healthy. I need to make sure they're fat, but not too fat. I need to make sure that they can bench a lot, but not too much. You know, I need to make sure they can do all these things. And that's where their focus is. Your strength and conditioning programs in the NFL, the staffs are much bigger. And you got to think that if it's a good team, and the Chiefs are one of those teams, they scored an A in like player enjoyment, I guess. Like they offer breakfast and lunch to players. So like, even if it's a day where they don't have practice, guess where you can go eat? You can go eat at the fucking the training facility. You know, they do all these things. Like if you're injured, they don't expect you to freaking go home. Guess what? We got you. And not only that, like they work with the player throughout their entire rehab program. And guess what, guys? Not every team does that. Yeah. Right? So, you know, it's kind of fucking like the Chiefs do it right. So like this kid, you bulk him up. Be nuts. You could put on some muscle, run a 4.3, and just get out there and catch passes from Patrick Mahomes. Fucking steal. I'm sorry, that's a steal.
I was gonna say, because he's gonna put on some muscle, he's gonna lose some speed, but at 4.1 or 4.2, running 4.21.
Yeah.
Running a 4.21, you can afford to lose a little speed.
Yeah. Yeah, and he'll probably only drop to like 4.3. Oh shucks, you're still fast as fuck, dude. Like,
well, you know, he may blow us all away.
People make a big deal about the 40, and it's like, it's a 40-yard dash. These guys are fast as fuck for 40 yards under optimal conditions. But you know what? They're not. They're not Olympic sprinters. You know, someone was like, this dude could beat Usain Bolt. I'm like, not a fucking day. Not even one time out of 10 is this guy gonna beat Usain Bolt. And Usain Bolt's retired. You know, like, no, that's not how these sports work. You know, Usain Bolt trains for that 100 meters, right? Like, Xavier Thomas is going to be fast out of the box. But like you said, how does he get off a block?
Yeah.
How does he get behind his man? You know, on top of that, maybe they can't get him up to 210 after year one, and he's only at 190. How well does he block the edges when you're trying to get Isaiah Pacheco out on the outside?
How does he take those hits?
Yeah. You know, so
the NFL is allowing some serious contact right now. It's definitely not, you know, 2015 NFL, but it's starting to get reminiscent.
Yeah, and I think that's, it's like them trying to even it out, because for, you know, the last 3-4 years, if a cornerback farted at a wideout wrong, he got called for pass interference.
Yeah.
You know. But, you know, I'll be texting your ass off during the first two rounds, you know, of the draft, just because I think that's where we're going to see, you know, I think that's where most people are invested. 3 to 7 people are like, eh, you know, unless you have like a favorite who plays at a small school, you know, after the first two rounds, I'm not really watching much. I'm not going to lie. I get the updates and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I didn't know this guy from Mount Holyoke University. I love the draft. I love that these kids are getting opportunity to chase their dream. I think that's great. I hope their health holds out. I hope they make fucking enough money to take care of themselves and their family. And I hope they're smart with it. I see great football going into next season. So that's what I'm excited about. All I know is March 30th, the UFL kicks off, and that's what I'll be talking about all the time.
Well, I'm down for it. We'll be back next week, right?
That's right. I got Wednesdays off from now on. So,
and we can talk some basketball next week. We can find out why the Warriors have fallen off.
We're just going to talk about the Cavs, Jason. Cavs.
That's fine. Hey,
2.5 hours of this Cavs talk.
All Cavs all the time. Welcome to Beyond the Red Zone, which is really just Cavs
talk. Dr. Claw's like, fuck yeah, man, I'm gonna be there. But he's singing it like you said, he's singing it like Billy Ocean.
One of them nights, dun, dun, dun. Chandler Kern says, Jason Miles, thanks for the Bitter Lake Productions. My drive from Portland, Oregon to the coast wouldn't be the same without rat food. Thank you, Chandler, for listening to Bitter Lake, which is my band that we're trying very hard to do one last show. We've been all talking about trying to do it, and it's just been a bear to get us all in the same room, as another member has been on tour with a larger band, and we want to do one last show, and I think we're going to try to record it and stream it.
Yeah, one of them's on tour with a larger band. The other one pulled a hammy getting out of bed. Jason's been dealing with a nagging back injury that he received from getting out of the chair too quickly. We've got a really gnarly paper cut as well. So,
well, look, I didn't say we could play. We could all play a show. But to go back on tour, I don't have it in me.
It's going to be funny when Bitter Lake's playing like Zach De La Roca's last month on the last Rage tour after he he tore his Achilles. He just sat down.
He sat down. Look, man, I went to go see my friend Conan play in San Francisco maybe like 6 months ago or so. And I'm seeing him and a bunch of other people. The guy that actually put this whole thing together, the one that convinced me to change the name to This Is Revolution, Cobra, was there. He's a musician from the Bay Area. Other guys I hadn't seen in years. You know, now I'm getting pats on the back about the podcast, which is weird. I'm in a music venue that I've been in, that I've played in before, and it's like, oh, dude, man, that fucking that show. Fuck, man, the show. Oh shit, the show. And I'm there early, and Conan and them are sound checking. Conan walks over to me. He goes, Jay, man, do you miss it? And I look at all these dead cases, which is like cases that don't have anything in them. You got to move them and all this shit. And I go, no. No. I know you just spent like 10 hours driving 400 miles.
Yep.
You just loaded most of it out yourself because someone was playing on their phone. No, I'm good, dude. I'm totally good. I'm good. I will watch this with you with earplugs in like an old person.
Oh, dude. It was funny. Like, so I have my little commie reading group, and we've expanded to 18, and 12 of them are between the ages of 18 and 21.
Oh, Jesus.
And we're talking about the comparisons of the differentiations of thought after the Russian Revolution, where you had, you know, you have your base in Marxism, but then you have Leninism,
yeah,
you know, and Stalinism and Trotskyism. And someone brought up Trotskyism, and he was like really going to town for it, you know. He's like, it seems more active, it seems like more in your face. And I said, bro, what did Trotsky call for? And he goes, the permanent revolution. And I said, yeah. Mm-hmm. The permanent revolution, the revolution that never stops.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, what comes with a permanent revolution? And for this exercise, we'll call him Bill, right? And Bill goes, well, it has to be constantly fought. And I said, Bill, how old are you? He goes, I'm 20. And I'm like, yeah, you got about 20 years of fighting in you. I said, I'm 42. You think I got 20 years fighting in me? He goes, what, you couldn't fight now? I was like, bro, if you set me up in a nice spot with a good rifle, I'll shoot until I die. But I was like, I ain't moving anywhere.
Like, I'll snipe some people.
But I was like, I'm not, you know. And then I was like, you know, this ain't Fortnite, right, where you get shot and you can come back the next match. You know, and I'm sitting there trying to explain to him permanent means it's constantly turning over. There's people constantly dying. You're constantly in a warlike setting, which means food shortages and shit like that. I'm like, is that what you really want to? That's what. That's how you want to live?
That's where you want to be when Jesus comes?
You know? And he goes, well, we have to constantly keep the government on its toes. And da da da. I was like, okay, I'm going to tell you the same thing that a lot of his comrades told Trotsky. If you feel the need to constantly wage war against what should be the dictatorship of the proletariat, right? Mm-hmm. Control of the workers, control of the people. That means you don't trust the people. And you've already set yourself apart from the people because you know better. Mm-hmm. And Bill looks at me and goes, shit. And I was like, yeah, it's kind of a mind fuck. I was like, trust me, you don't want to be 40 something years old fighting a war. It's not fun. I was like, come on, bro. And he's like, well, when's the last time you deployed? I said, 2012. I was 29 years old and could barely do it then. Okay, so what you need to do, sir, is you're up here. I need you down here. Okay, I was like, I'm not trying to squash your revolutionary spirit. I love it, Bill. Thank you for bringing this discussion up. I think it was very important. But you need to keep in mind, you're not young long.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you know when you get to a certain age, you know, you're not fighting well. And the cold hits you harder.
Oof.
Your knees hurt.
Oof.
Right? Oh, man. You had to sleep in the mud.
Oof.
Oh. I was like,
no.
And then, like, and this tiny little girl, like, she's 19, Jace, pops up and she's like, I don't want to do that anyway. Do I have to do that? And I was like, no, you don't have to do that. Not everybody's meant to do that. There are other more important things to do. Like, there's a spot for everybody. And she's just like, okay, I want one of those spots with no mud and no
blood. We want the convenient revolution. I want to leave with this. Since we're talking, you know what? I feel like this could be like another hour and we don't have another hour.
No, we do not, my friend.
We don't have another hour. You know why? Because there is a part-time yoga teacher that's hitting me up. Totally kidding. Am I? Am I being serious? I don't know. You'll never know. But
I like that coy part of you, Jason. Like, right, maybe I do, and maybe I don't.
Maybe I do, or maybe I'm just full of shit. What am I right now?
Yeah, everybody. So just wait for the OnlyFans. We'll check the OnlyFans.
If I have more days off on the show, that's how you know it.
It's gonna be funny.
Jason's never on the show anymore. What happened?
Bitter Lake OnlyFans, and like the band member's like, "Wait a minute, I know. I had no idea." Jason's like, "I made $42 from this last month." They're like, "Bitch, where's my cut?"
That sounds like the money I get on the ads for the audio podcast.
Oh, bitter cakes. God. Oh, Lenny, that's perfect. Jason's only fan handle is bitter cakes.
And then you hit him with this one.
Because I nut quick.
No. No.
And then you have Cat Williams, Joe Rogan. Is that high talk?
Is that high talk, Joe Rogan? Dude. Between cutting that Cat Williams clip and then cutting the David Lucas clip. Have you seen the David Lucas clip?
Not yet, dude. I'm going to watch it tomorrow because tomorrow I'm going back to the gym to lift. And I'm just going to have it up because I know it's going to probably piss me off a little bit while making me laugh. So
this dude is so bad. He's so bad. I sent the clip to Bert. And Bird's like, I'm not going to watch it till the show. I sent it to Jason England, and Jason England was like, nigga, I couldn't get over like 2 minutes in. And so we watched like 12 minutes of it on the show. And the game was, how long can Pascal go before he tells us to turn it off? And I cut the clip where Pascal was going to turn the shit off. I can't deal with this coon anymore.
Fuck it. Pascal's getting ready to like Kool-Aid Man through the wall.
Dude, it was just Pascal first. Like, oh no, I'm just, I'm gonna check this out. No, keep playing it. And then when the guy got into it, what does he say? He goes, black people are the only people in the world that say the word karma. We're like, what?
Has he not met any white woman in her mid 30s?
He literally said, someone said, I've heard a white woman say it. He goes, I bet that white woman dated a black dude.
Well, in certain cases, sure. But in some of the places I live,
here, yeah. It's ridiculous, dude.
Which city is in this next side of Fayetteville? Like, I live in a pretty nice neighborhood, but dude, I kid you not, during the summer, like last summer when I was running, like I literally saw like Identity Europa flyers on mailboxes, right?
Yeah.
And there's an HOA here, didn't complain about it. Our, like the fence around our backyard, the gate was kind of leaning. They fined us $500 for it. So like we talked to the people, like the HOA pres, and I'm like, so Identity Europa can just come in here and pass out flyers on all our fucking mailboxes. But one of the hinges is broken and my roommate and I work a shit ton of hours and just haven't gotten it to it yet. And you're going to charge us $500. And they're like, Identity Europa is protected speech. Your gate brings down our property value. And wow. I was like,
and hate doesn't.
Oh,
has the opposite effect.
Brings values up.
I stopped trying to have certain common sense arguments. I looked, you know, I get emails when this shit gets pulled or there's a problem with something, right? And every show, there's always like, you know, you can't put ads on it. We have to ask for a review. And usually they say, okay. The show last night, I asked for a review and they came back real quick. They were like, oh, no, 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 no. There will be no ads on this show whatsoever. They pulled a thumbnail because, you know, there's some delirium that sets in when you do everything. And I couldn't think of a name for the clip. And it was Catherine Liu talking. And I just called it Sexy Facts. So I have this, I pay for a service to get stock footage.
Okay.
Stock images. So I got a stock image of a woman in a thong, in a lace thong. Everything's covered. She's wearing a lace thong. And they said I violated the nudity standards for the thumbnail.
Oh, my gosh.
So now every thumbnail I make, I'm trying to put a woman or a dude with a thong. I'm just trying to get as many thongs as possible.
That is what you should do, right? Just put dudes in thongs. And then when they say no, you're like, so you're homophobic.
Ooh.
So you don't, oh, that dudes can't wear thongs? Okay. Okay. So you're trying to assign gender and gender roles. Is that okay? That's fine.
Like Gene Bajon used to make thumbnails with like dudes, like two dudes like covered in oil, eating bananas and shit.
Well, that's just bros being bros. What are you
That's guys being guys.
That's just two dudes broing out. Like, what the fuck, Jason? Like, God
damn. Like Nick.
Yeah. Like, if you wanted to grease up and eat bananas on air, I'm down. Let's do this. Granted, we should probably do that on the OnlyFans, though, if we're going to do that.
I feel like that would be so disappointing for people. They'd be like, oh. Yeah.
I guarantee you there are some fucking creeps out there. They're like, you guys got another banana? Assless Chap 69. No, we don't. I stopped at the gas station to get this one. Can you go back? I'm not sure I like your name here, man.
I hope that's not where I have to go to make sure I can keep the show going. Like,
it's gonna be funny, everybody. We're gonna do a Behind the Red Zone and Jason's just gonna come on and be like, guys, we only have an hour. and we're going to hit the hour. We're not even finished what we're talking about. And he's like, all right, guys, thank you so much. He hits the music and everybody in chat's like, what the fuck? And then a link pops up on Twitter and you're like, come see Mac and I, the OnlyFans. You know? We're toe wrestling.
Just hella crying in the background. Like, why? Why?
Mac, shut the fuck up. Nobody wants to hear you weeping. Shut up, Jason. I'm allowed to feel what I feel. You need to trim your pinky toenail.
We just both sound like Nancy Kerrigan after that fucking knee assault. Why?
And the next thing you know, there's like.
But, you know. That... yeah. You know, that and then that's how you get. That's how you make a living in leftist podcasting.
Yeah, that's how you're like, hey guys, we're seeing you on air a lot more often. Yeah, well, if you knew what we had to do.
And what's with all the fruit?
Yeah. Jason, are those raspberries? Don't ask. We got a special treat for brother, you after you don't this know. Show.
I fucked a pancake, my man.
Jason got pancakes. I got the pies this time. It was horrible.
Scalded dicks and shit.
What the fuck is wrong with us?
It's the reality of trying to make a living at this. It's like, oh, yeah. God. Can you just not microwave it again, please?
We hire producers. We're like, all right, guys. We're starting to make money. You're really going to have to lower and debase yourself this time. What more do I have to do?
The chicken is cooked so it's not raw. You won't have to worry about salmonella, but we're going to need you to fuck it.
Yeah. You know a turkey? Yeah. You're not going to fuck one of those. We got a duck. Oh, God, no.
Like, that's how you know. That's how you know that it's like, oh, well, you know, anything to keep the lights on.
Yeah. That's when you start dating. They're like, so what do you do for a living? And you're like, then you go, have you Googled my name? Don't do that. You have a great night. You drop her off at the house. Have a good night. And then she texts you back like, you are a sick fuck and I never want to see you again. A duck?
Man.
Really?
Oh,
a man. Duck? Were you toe wrestling? You know,
I know there's a few women that watch these shows that they've been calling in, and it makes me feel better because people love teasing us about there's no women that watch us. Would you date a man? I want to know. Would you date a man if you knew that for a living he fucked fruit? Not other people, but he just fucked fruit on the internet, and that's how he paid his bills.
Cantaloupe, watermelon, grapefruit.
Yeah.
Fuck. Avocados from Mexico. Those ones could actually probably take a day.
If you knew them, if you knew your avocado. Dude, he never touched another person, just fucked fruit. Would you still date him?
I mean, you have to give him props for that, ladies, because fruit's expensive now.
Right.
And he's just trying to make a couple bucks. So imagine what he's paying in his fruit.
Just to make a living. Just to make it. I mean, you're definitely not eating at his house.
Oh, no.
We can go out. But it's so expensive. He's like, I can cook at home.
Yeah. You guys hook up. Have a great night. You hear him making a smoothie the next morning. You're like, no, I'm good.
Like, that's not. I want to know. Because I feel like
Dr. Claw just decided, you know what? I don't want to meet Matt.
Dr. Claw was like, good day, sir.
I said good day, Mac. Good day.
I feel like if you said you fucked fruit on OnlyFans, that still sounds better than if you say you do a podcast. That's how I feel.
Yeah. Well, I think we went far enough off the rails. and I need to go to bed. I need to seriously look at if I have enough money in my budget for this potential fruit fucking project.
Dude, just real quick before we go, I was invited to this neighborhood mixer where all the homeowners, it's like a what do you call it, a networking thing with all the people that own homes here, and they're mostly retired, and a lot of them have publishing companies or whatever. And so they asked me what I did, and I was like, and my one neighbor that brought me down there goes, oh, Jason's got a podcast, you know, and the woman who was hosting it looked at me and she laughed and she goes, no, really, you can do that for a living?
Wow.
Dude.
Okay. So at least we do it somewhat ethically, all the horrible fruit fucking shows aside. That's what
I'm saying, dude.
And we are not the Song Piper. Left this veneer off. It was like, give me your money.
Dude, I'm going to start saying crazy shit what I do, because every time I say what I do, someone always looks at me like I just spit on their grandma. Like, oh, really? Ew.
Yeah, it's like when I tell people I'm a freelance writer, they're like, oh, so are you homeless? No, I didn't realize.
So fucking fruit. I feel like, just let us know in the comments if you think that, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, dude.
And if you're watching on Twitter/X, leave an X. There's a lot more people watching on Twitter right now, Max. So leave a comment on our wherever you're watching the show.
Let us know. Say, I have my X handle up there, so you can be like, Mac, by the looks of you, do not fuck fruit.
Don't fuck the fruit.
But
let me know
if you have a better idea. I'm all ears, man.
That's all I want to know is the truth. And I want to know if we fuck fruit, you guys would take us more seriously. And then, you know.
Yeah. Or better yet, when Jason and I answer, we have a podcast or we write freelance, and we get, ew, really? If we answered with, well, we fuck fruit on the internet, people would take us more seriously as well. Like,
oh, really? They'd be like, oh, that is interesting.
Is that a growth? Like, is that a growth?
They start talking about their friends that do weird shit. My uncle does some feet stuff. And
Yeah,
so fruit fucking, huh? Ooh, that's cool. I'm into Bitcoin.
Yeah. So do you take Bitcoin? How much Bitcoin are we talking about?
Virtuoso says, this has been the and more section.
Yeah.
All right, now I'm going to go tell someone that I just talked about fucking fruit on the internet for 3 hours and see what they say.
Oh, man, dude.
Let's see if the date gets ruined.
Yeah, this is a banger here. If they don't back you up, like, if they're just not like, you know what, I'm into it. You know what I hope for, Jason? I hope you tell this person that, and you wake up, and there's 20,000 Bitcoin in your wallet. And everybody, next Wednesday, we start the episode. Jason's just over here, just...
like Andrew Tate.
All right, everybody. Fuck you. Dr. Claw, you're amazing. Never change. Mac, love you, but fuck you too. I got 20,000 Bitcoin. Suck my dick from the back. I'm out.
Fucking this fruit.
I got a cantaloupe to go defile.
I would just do it on air. I'd be like, fuck the stream. Take the whole channel down. I don't give a fuck. All right, guys. You have a good night. I'll see you guys. You'll see me tomorrow, but I'll be doing an early morning show with the professor about the Pakistan elections and the Pakistan left. On that note, we are